Labo, Nintendo's Furry in a makerspace may be giving birth to the next generation of makers, or it may just be more narrow-use accessories that don't survive a generation of gaming. Only time will tell, but in the meantime, we've got more of this week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 715 for this January 21st, 2018. My name is Rob Roberts on the Twitters at Sky, S-K-I-E, my old school DDR freak name, and that'll be relevant here in a minute. And over there next to me, as she always is, as she's always been on DDR Freak and ever since, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
I remember DDR Freak and special things that happened around it.
Yeah.
I remember being a moderator and just shaking my head at some of the shenanigans.
I remember getting the little flashy foot towards the end of the run. That was exciting.
I remember controversial bannings that I did.
Yes. Yeah. You laying the ban hammer down on someone? Surely you
did.
All right. We are going to have a little bit of an old school night tonight, and I'll get into that in a moment. But sadly not here tonight, Techmaster Loki. He has family commitments today, so he will not be joining us, but he'll be back next week. Big welcome to those of you that are joining us live, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. By the way, Bobby Blackwolf hitting 600 episodes tonight, so big congrats to Bobby Blackwolf on his landmark 600th episode. I know he didn't do anything too special to celebrate, as we kind of hit a point ourselves where we were like, woo, another 100 mark, woo. But still very few podcasters in that club.
I'm still a little disappointed we didn't have our big quinceanera.
Well, never say never. Might just be a little
late.
We'll
have the Sweet 16 party.
You know, my pal Arya Snark, who you're going to hear more about a little later, just saying. Arya Snark, she had a quinceanera for her 30th. So they did like a double quinceanera to catch her up, because she never had one originally. So never say never.
We just had one.
We just have to make it to 30 years.
But they weren't a thing where I'm from.
So here we are. It's just the two. Isn't this weird? Because last week we had so many people here in studio, and then this week it's just you and me feeling the love with our chatters at live.vognetwork.com. And hello to anybody that is checking out OLR thanks to last week's show. My understanding is that that show got passed around amongst the various Ingress communities. Not just the opposition here figured out about it and was listening a little bit. So, hey, guys. I guess it got out. Some folks on the East Coast were like, oh, yeah, Snow told me about the show. I checked it out. So thanks, you guys. And that's awesome.
We hope that you're still listening.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Sadly, I don't have a lot of Ingress tonight because I haven't played as much. But
I bumped both of your portals over there, but woo-hoo! You've got one that's gone white. So yeah, I didn't have time to do anything to it.
I've had a lot of other stuff going on, which will make sense here shortly.
My nemesis has been trying to take my neighborhood.
Well,
Give me some bursters, please.
All the things. I didn't think we were going to talk about Ingress tonight, but here we are.
See, there you go. Now, there you go. Your 5 seconds of Ingress talk.
just to keep that crowd here tonight. Just
yeah.
To keep here. But we do talk about...
Rob needs to give me bursters. That's the story.
I don't know if I have a lot. I think I have a few. I can probably give some away.
I need some that aren't, you know, level 6 like what I have now.
Anyway, what we do talk about here at Orange Lounge Radio are all different types of video games, be it console, PC, you know, pretty much everything. But this show started many years ago, over 15 years ago. Dark Sakura, myself, and Loki, who's not here, we all met playing Dance Dance Revolution and other games that were in Konami's Beatmania series, or Beatmania, or basically their series dedicated to hit the button to play the note in time with the music, would be, I guess, the most simple way I could describe it. We're going to talk a little more about that tonight, actually. We're going to do a little bit of a throwback. So whereas last week was all about a modern cell phone game, tonight we're going to talk a little bit later here at the top of the show. In about 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk with an old friend of the show. This is a big throwback. I think he was on like our 6th episode of the show, and then a few episodes after that. We're up to 715 now. But our pal Mel B is going to join us tonight over Skype to talk about an upcoming freestyle DDR tournament that's happening in the Bay Area this next weekend. And even if you can't be there in person, you're going to be able to check it. Thanks to the technology and how far it's come in 15 years, you're going to be able to check it out all over the world So we'll talk to Mel about DDR and freestyle and where that's all at. So it's a little blast from the past. I wish I still played DDR regularly. I'd probably be about 20 pounds lighter, but here we are. You'd think Pokemon Go and all the walking I do with that might have helped with the old weight, the beer gut, even though I don't really drink beer. But
I can't really talk about that.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Act Deft in chat starting us off tonight talking about Darkstalkers Banhammer. Fear Darkstalkers Banhammer. It is tough, but fair. Dark Tetsuya talking about the DDR scene. The Wednesday nights at RVGL. Good fucking times. I started playing again this year. I did a weekly thing in 2012, but figured I'd start up again. You know what? It's a good habit to have. It's a very good habit to have. My pal JD, who you've heard on the show many times and you see in chat once in a while, he's also very good at trying to get me to play DDR when he's visiting or I'm visiting there because he still plays pretty regularly. So, and as I understand it, there was a pretty big Perfect Attack tournament that happened this last weekend at
We'll hear about that.
At G5, yeah. So we'll hear more about that later. So we'll wait for that. In the meantime, though, before we get to that, let's start off our show with the kickoff topic and some really big Nintendo news this week that could be about the future of gaming, question mark. Dark Sakura, tell us a little bit about Labo.
Well, I watched the commercial for it, and I was like, the fuck is this? And then I was like, this is pretty cool. I mean, it's all cardboard, but the fact that you get these kits and you basically, they're papercraft. In a nutshell, they're papercraft. And you putting them together, I think, is probably the most fun of it. But then it's used, you know, I guess in conjunction, there's places to put in the controller, the Joy-Con and everything on the Switch, and even places to put the screen so that each of these little kits gives you a different experience. I wonder, though, I didn't see if they come with, like, a game to use that peripheral with,
a tool. They didn't really explain the games. You can see that the screens are running some sort of game, at least some of them. Like, it looked like that little robot that crawled around on the ground, yeah. Like, the screen was the controls, basically.
Yeah.
You were controlling the controllers with your controller.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And there seemed to be like some sort of pseudo VR going on.
Very pseudo VR. Pseudo, yeah. Pseudo, yeah. Pseudo Wudo, actually, since this is Nintendo. But anyway.
That's HAL, Rob.
But, well,
that's
okay. HAL. Here's one of the games that was there. Do you remember a couple years ago at E3, Miyamoto was presenting his demos that justify why the Wii U has a gamepad? Like, that's kind of what it was. And one of those demos ended up being the Star Fox spinoff tactical game they had that came with the Star Fox. But then the other was that robot that punched things. That was there.
Yeah.
So it looks like this. I mean, it's probably not the same thing that you guys saw at E3 that year, but it's been
repurposed. All ideas spawn new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's I'd like to think that it's a very original concept, you know.
Yeah.
It's something new, and I think people look at anything new with skepticism.
Sure.
However, I think Nintendo's got a track record of taking what we're skeptical about and making it a success.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, usually. We do.
That's why I said there's a record.
Yeah, okay, guys, I was going to say Virtual Boy, Wii U, you know, not always.
Well, I liked the Wii U a lot better than I thought I would.
But sales-wise, it just didn't happen, you know.
Because people are stupid.
Namely third parties.
But the Wii U is what spawned the Switch. I truly believe that.
Oh, sure.
And
I think the Switch is kind of what the Wii U was supposed to be, but the technology kind of just wasn't there. It just wasn't there yet.
Yeah. I think it was there to sort of wet the palate.
Yeah.
You know. And so, you know, I look at the Wii U as like the evolution phase. You know, when you look at human evolution, it's like the one with the weird shape and head,
mm-hmm.
you know, that eventually becomes, you know, what grows into humanity. Excuse me.
Oh, you all right over there?
Yeah, no.
The joys of doing live. Sometimes there's coughs and burps and things that happen.
No.
We're human.
Part of the side effect of my surgery is a lot of burping.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry about it. Not sorry.
It's going to happen.
I really do, you know, there are people who I think are looking at this as, oh, this is just for kids. But you got to think about it, you know. I think that the adult who has lost their childlike imagination may as well be somewhat dead inside. Mm-hmm. I seriously believe that. You've got those people out there who are only worried about, you know, their business or, you know, just mundane things. And I think that the moment that you lose that spark of imagination that you had as a child, you know, it's a little death to me. And so I was excited by this because there's a lot of imagination, a lot of passion that's gone into an idea like this. And I really want to see it work.
You know, Nintendo did come out in the beginning and say, what we're about to announce is for kids and for the kid inside you. So, you know, you kind of had to, if you were thinking, oh, it's going to be this the Smash announcement today, like you're on crack if you thought that's where it was going. Yeah. Like they warned you it was going to be something a little different. And I honestly was kind of like, honest to God, my mind was like, maybe they're going to do like a Sesame Street channel. Like, you know, we had no idea what was coming. So I was thinking like, oh, maybe there'll be like a Sesame Street channel coming on Nintendo Switch and, you know, the kid and all of us can go watch the episodes in the 70s or something. Or watch that hella awesome Pointer Sisters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Anyway. See, who doesn't remember that? That's our age. Anyway.
That's our age. I'm glad you added that.
If you're younger and you have no idea what we're referencing, you owe it to yourself to go to YouTube and like Pointer Sisters 12. I'm sure it would come up with it. 12.
Wasn't it on Sesame Street?
Yeah, it was on Sesame Street at one point. Yeah.
You know... Great. Now I'm just feeling.
No, it's all right. I was going to finish my thought anyway.
Yeah, please do.
So this whole thing kind of came out of left field. I don't think anybody could have predicted this. We had no leaks that were really pushing that direction or anything. So, you know, this was a very hard thing to call. I watched the trailer and I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I mean, certainly I had that reaction of like, it's cardboard. Nintendo is going to sell you cardboard. And of course, I wrote all the sassy tweets to go along with that and my cheap ploy for retweets. But at the end of the day, I was like, you know, but if any company is going to make cardboard cool, like it's going to be Nintendo. And yes, I realize like the fishing pole has like some cheap string and some like plastic washer looking things. So it's not 100% cardboard, but let's be real. Those kits are not going to be that expensive to make, and Nintendo stands to make a big profit with it. Which honestly is my only hesitation with this is that everything we saw in that little commercial is going to cost $130 because it's $60 for one pack, $70 for the robot pack, which is probably, I'm going to guess, being as it was the Miyamoto demo, is going to be the more fully featured game, which is why it's a little more expensive. But I'm just like,
And I think at that price point, though, it's going to have to come with some software.
It does come with software, but they're like, they're well, we don't know what the robot thing is, really. But as far as like the piano and the other stuff, it's kind of tech demo-y.
The piano one is neat, though.
It's neat, but is it something you're going to enjoy for very long after you build it? And I'm just... I need less shit in this house.
Okay, you've seen
not
my garage. You know the shelf of Bimani, you know, peripherals I have?
Uh-huh.
And some of my leftover, you know, Genesis and SNES era peripherals. Mm-hmm. You've seen the stack.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking the advantage of something like this is that once it's assembled, it could be disassembled and stored, you know. You know, for me, if I got something like this, I'd probably end up laminating the aura, treating the cardboard.
If you could, it might throw it off, especially I'm thinking that little robot where the controllers move it. If you make that cardboard too heavy with the weight and even maybe
Well, I'm not
paint.
Saying using like epoxy or resin. I'm just saying using like a sealant.
Okay.
Or, you know, like what I do, you can... And here's cosplay tip number 21 from Jamie. little DIY stuff. You can get Mod Podge. You use it for decoupage and for doing, you know, paper crafts. Mm-hmm. But Mod Podge is also a sealant, mm-hmm, for paper and cardboard. And you use it for sealing up a decoupage. You know what decoupage is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Use it. Well, for those who don't know, decoupage is taking like cutouts and pieces of paper.
It's like a scrapbook.
Kind of.
Like,
but yeah, you do it either in patterns or different things or for, mm-hmm, collage, and then you seal it over with the Mod Podge.
That's why you got the Polaroid camera recently, right? Was to do stuff like that.
No.
Oh,
I got the Polaroid camera because one of my friends who will, hopefully I can have him on this show before he goes back to Australia, is my friend JJ, who sometimes shows up in chat, who's going to be down here for DragCon. We're going to DragCon together.
Fun.
But I started looking at his forays into Polaroids, and I was already into Holga photography. Mm-hmm. And so I picked up a Polaroid Spectra mm-hmm. for $20. I picked up a pack of film for $20. And so,
sorry, yeah. just to go back to the Labo thing for a little bit. I do think it's going to be very interesting to see all the people that are going to be like, here's how I blinged out my robot, or here's, you know, it is going to inspire that level of creativity.
You saw how they were painting them and mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah, I thought
so that was clearly
cool.
It can take a layer of something on it.
It's can't I look at something in the gaming industry? And I don't think we do this enough as gaming fans. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of what we see on Twitter is cynicism and social media and stuff like that. Can't I, as a gaming fan, look at Nintendo Labo and go, that is really awesome? I'm probably not going to buy it, but that's awesome for like the kids. Like, if I had kids and I wanted to get them interesting in engineering. And the really cool thing about something like Labo, and especially the day and age that we live in, like mm-hmm. that's something that like girls and boys, and no matter gender, no matter ethnicity or any of that stuff, you could like be super into that and express your like creative senses through something like Labo, which was basically Legos to us back in the day. Remember, Lego had that really cool statement in the 70s about something like, it doesn't, oh man, they wrote that letter. I think it was like a letter to a girl or something. It was like, it doesn't matter
to look it up.
Who you are. Yeah, yeah, Lego had like a really awesome letter in the 70s.
And I think though it's only going to be a matter of time that people are going to buy the Labo, you know, and then recreate and put the patterns online, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that I honestly think that the price point is going to be coming from software that's packaged in with it.
Oh, sure.
And the fact that there's probably going to be other pieces of software virtually mm-hmm. that are going to make use of the Labo peripherals.
It could be very interesting to see what happens with Labo in the future. Like, you know, I think about this, you know, I say this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but not really. Like, I think about, okay, so we just recently had the Super Mario cereal that came out, right? And the Super Mario cereal had the Amiibo chip inside the box. So people were trying to find those boxes like crazy to get the cereal Amiibo, basically, right? Well, why couldn't maybe Super Mario cereal next time be a Labo? The cardboard could actually become a Labo, and you could download a silly little thing. It doesn't have to be complex. You don't have to package it in with like a piano or some shit, but you know, something kind of simple, silly.
I was actually kind of surprised that I think that if there was going to be one, you'd get the piano one would be it. But now look at this. What if Labo support got third party support, and we start seeing,
and they say it might.
And say that, I'm just going to use this as a what if, you know, a wish. It may not even happen. It's unrealistic. But say that they get licensing from Konami and then do a Labo, say, 5-key Beatmania. Or let you use the piano peripheral for a light version of Keyboard Mania. Mm-hmm. You know, wouldn't something like that really pique your interest?
Actually, yes. If the piano thing was like a music-based game where the music was really like interesting, like I would really be into that. And I would actually say, though, out of all of the things they showed, that piano interested me the most. And the mm-hmm. technology inside it is pretty badass.
Yeah.
Like I have to say. Like the way the infrared sensor reads like the thing on the... That's fucking science, but like simple science.
Well, and on top of that, some of this Labo stuff makes me think of those. You know, if you go into a hobby shop, which Dan and I were spending a lot of time at hobby shops, you know, about a year ago when he was really into RC cars. Mm-hmm. But you go into those hobby shops and you see these build your own spider or build your own, you know, they sell circuit boards and people are building their own, you know, little, that's kind of like the precursor into that level of engineering. You know, you take the teenage kit and you've made it more accessible for, say, people, I'd say like maybe between 6 and 10, you know, that's going to be the thing that leads up into, you know, going into junior engineering and then having that interest in,
yeah,
or even like for me as an artist, just looking at how I love paper craft and I love things like that, that you take one single sheet and you make it into something amazing.
You're right. And those types of things that you do, like as a kid, can totally set you on a path later in life. It might not, but it might. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, again, I'm going to date myself, but I thought these things were so rad. Who remembers back in the day, Radio Shack, used to sell like those kits where you'd have those little springs and you could connect wires between the springs and you learn about electricity.
Yeah.
And it was usually like a 20-in-1 kit where you could build like a little light, you could build, you know, a simple little switch, things like that. One of the kits would let you build a simple radio transmitter. So you could actually like broadcast, and it was so low that like it wouldn't work very far outside your house. Like you weren't going to be able to do pirate radio with it. But like, and I was blown away by the fact that like I could do something in my room and my mom could hear it in her bedroom. And look where we are now.
Well, I just remember, you know, getting like the big 9-volt batteries. Is that what they were? They were 9-volt?
Yeah.
And making electromagnets. And then... ruining our floppy disks.
And then not to get too nostalgic here, but I'll kind of end on this note. Yeah. I think about, you know, you and I grew up on Mr. Wizard's World. And like a lot of the stuff in that show was stuff around the house that Mr. Wizard would turn into these science experiments. Like, I don't know if he ever did Diet Coke and Mentos, but I'm sure he did something similar.
I did.
Volcanoes and stuff.
I did the Mobius one that he did.
Yeah.
You know, where you take the paper, give it a half twist, and tape it in a loop. And when you cut it, it'll either make loops or it'll do one. A Mobius is the only one truly one-sided object.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just things like that. You know, it's why I go back to say that you can't ever, ever lose that spark of wonder and imagination. Because then it's when, you know, it's a little death. It's the death of the child in you. You can't ever lose that, and that's why I really appreciate this project.
So let me end with this question, and then we're going to do a quick announcement, and then we're going to get to our interview tonight. Where do you stand with Labo? Are you going to pick it up? Or Labo? I can always say Labo, like it's Cabo, Wabo, Labo, but it's Labo. Do we have an official pronunciation? I think Labo makes sense, because Nintendo Lab.
That's if you're making it all American, but if it's Japanese, it would be Labo.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, what's your stance on it? Are you going to buy it?
I want to wait to see all the kits, and I'll make my decision if there's a kit I like. Mm-hmm. But chances are leading in.
Probably we know we have these two. We have two kits to start. There'll probably be more.
The piano one really interests me.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if I will jump in day one. However, I plan to tell my friends with kids about it.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, I know that Julian already wants a Switch. I don't think Becky wants to buy him a Switch.
But this, oh man, Julian. See,
Julian, this would
Julian
be right up his alley.
Right up his alley. Like almost, like if I were to buy it, it would be so like Julian could come over and play it.
Yeah, I would actually just say, you know, buy the kit and bring him over to play.
Yeah, right?
You know, the only thing he wants to play right now is Breath of the Wild.
Which is also cool.
He's like, there's nothing else there he wants to play. It's like, bring him over.
All right, I'm going to do a little bit of housekeeping here with a very special announcement here, and then we're going to give our pal Mel B a call. So I don't know if Twitter beat me to it, but I'm going to be announcing today a brand new show is joining the Voice of Geeks Network, VOG Network, and this is another in-house production for those of you that remember Pokestop Podcast, rest in peace. This is an in-house production, but it actually does not have to do with games. This is a new production between myself and my pal, who is a cosplay artist. Her name is Arya Snark, but you can call her Victoria. That is what most people know her as. And the new podcast is called Shaking and Crying. And episode number one is available right now over at VogNetwork.com and soon to be ShakingandCrying.com as soon as I get the pointer to point over to the right place. This show is going to be all about basically geek culture, pop culture, and the hosts sassing each other. That is what the show is all about. In episode one, you're going to be able to hear us talk about the latest that's going on over the YouTube controversy. We're going to talk a little bit about the trend for reboots in Hollywood, because apparently they're going to reboot Lost, which is like, what? Didn't they already tell us how that ends? And we'll talk about like Facebook Live as well. So there's lots of stuff on the show. And for those of you listening live tonight, you can get a special sneak preview right after OLR tonight. We're going to play episode one for you in its entirety right after Orange Lounge Radio tonight. But I'm really excited about it. It's been a while since I had more than one podcast, and let's see, Reading is Fundamental is coming back, and then I have about two more on the radar, don't I, Dark Sakura? So I'm back to podcasting full time.
Well,
after the shithole that was 2017,
thankfully the one of them is going to be just a tiny little quickie. It'll be like, you know, do it and have a smoke. You know why?
Why?
Because it's us.
All right. Let's see if we can get over to our pal, Mel B. I'm going to give him a call here on the Twitters, and I see on the Skype, and I see he's listening right now, so hopefully he's anticipating this. And we're going to talk to him all about the DDR Freestyle Takeover, which is coming up this Saturday in San Jose. I think we have Mel on the line. Hey, Mel, you there?
If you can hear me, you absolutely do.
We can absolutely hear you. How are you, my friend? It has been far too long since we've had you on OLR.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, since, you're right. I think it was the 600th episode.
I think you were
actually
here.
I think I had a very brief, chime in when you called the missus about someone having a question about purchasing an arcade game.
Oh, God, yeah. That's right. That was the last time we talked to you.
I think
you.
The last time you were physically on this show was when Shermie was alive.
Yeah, I think you haven't physically been here in a while, but you were here for episode 6. And how about that, Mel? Did you think we'd make it this long?
I didn't even think 2018 would be a possibility, just in my mind. I thought the world was just going to be dead by now, you know?
That's true. Y2K did scare the hell out of all of us back. Oh, wait a minute. This would have been after Y2K. Damn it. Bad joke. All right. But I know something that came out before Y2K that we got into that birthed this show was Dance Dance Revolution. And this was a game that you played a lot of back in the day, right?
Yeah. Actually, a couple months ago, I celebrated 18 years of playing that game.
Wow.
Yeah, because, I played in October of 99. First time was in Vegas at GameWorks.
You know, Mel, I've never told you this, but the first time I had even heard of you was checking the top scores in DDR on the online board.
You mean for DDR USA?
Yeah. And I remembered how you put your name in there.
I didn't even know I was ranked that high for a hot minute.
You were on there.
Yeah, it was probably on doubles, I bet.
Yeah, but I
did he put his initials in as Mel B? And I'm like, I love the Spice Girls.
No, I'll go ahead and say it if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
It was Mel Penis Cockland.
wait a second. Did I put it that way?
Yes.
That's impossible.
You must have him confused with a much nastier Mel.
No, I went back and checked and it had changed, but I remembered because I think I asked and someone said it was you. And it was pretty high up there. But that I never have told you this, but that was my first.
Somebody's impersonating him. All right.
It was a pretty good score, though. I wouldn't doubt if it was you.
So
those damn Russians, they were just, using me as a test case.
Fake news. All right, look. So look. 18 years ago, you first got into DDR. Here we are all these years later, and you're still playing it, right? I heard you did a perfect attack thing this weekend, as did a lot of people.
There was a pretty good turnout for at G5 yesterday. So they had a score attack tournament. What's kind of interesting about this was, A, it was on an Extreme machine, but it wasn't just any old Extreme machine. Have you heard about Extreme Pro?
No, I have not.
So get this. Very recently, there was some sort of, pack, for lack of a better term. Someone had re-engineered it so that when you play a standard game, it already defaults to Marvelous timing. So you know how in Extreme, you can only get the Marvelous versus Perfect in the Oni or the Nonstop modes?
Right.
So now you could do this in regular play because of the more recent versions of DDR. They use that sort of a EX system as the standard grading for score attack. And so now for tournament purposes, they do the same thing.
You know, I'm not terribly surprised to hear that because I know Dance Mania X had the upgrade to that years later that would allow extra songs to be added to that machine. There was a whole fan mix, or I don't know what you want to call it, that kind of upgraded that machine. So I'm kind of not surprised to hear somebody went back and did the similar sort of treatment to DDR Extreme. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was just nice to see a lot of the old especially Dance Mania type licenses and stuff back on that thing. And I mean, it felt hey, I could actually play most of these songs.
Now, and a lot of what we hear about DDR these days, because I know, you know, we had some stories going around the blogs recently of, like, Konami had a world tournament and, you know, all this stuff about DDR. But a lot of it has to do with the score attack or the perfect attack, you know, the actual timing of being able to hit the feet to the arrows, you know, with the music and the step charts and all that. But you're here tonight to talk about something a little different, or, you know, when I think back to back in the day, the other half of DDR tournaments that got lost somewhere along the way, weirdly, or maybe it didn't, and you're going to correct me, but that would be DDR Freestyle. So for those that don't know, what's DDR Freestyle?
So Freestyle is, like, pretty much going on machine, and it's kind of like the performance art side of DDR, where you would actually kind of put up a routine that you sort of pre-plan, and, you know, you perform, you do, like, an actual dance move in tune with the arrows. You know, you kind of, like, get creative with it. You can do, like, comedy things. You can, like, juggle. You can do all sorts of stuff out there. If you just Google or, like, you know, YouTube DDR Freestyle, you'll see it. It's like, wow, this is the kind of crazy stuff that people do. And a funny thing, I remember, like, a few months after I started playing DDR, my friend Ross, he, like, pings me in ICQ and says, dude, we've been playing this game wrong all this time, and shows me a video from Japan where a dude is practically breakdancing on a machine, and we're just like, oh damn, that's how you play it.
is that what enabled you to start Freestyle? Because you were pretty big into Freestyle back in the day, right? For our listeners who may not know, what types of badges do you have from the DDR Freestyle days?
Let's see. Well, I mean, overall, I've won about probably 10 Freestyle tournaments. The first big one that I won, I guess you could say, was Santa Monica Pier in 2000. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a huge deal because that was the first time, like, NorCal went down to SoCal, and we were like, hey, you know, we can hang with you guys. And it was judged by three guys who were, like, super big in the DDR scene in Japan at the time. So mm-hmm. the fact that one of those judges gave me, like, a personal award for what I did, I was like, dang, you know. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I won, like, at Metreon, won in, like, you know, a couple in SoCal. Actually, an arcade machine I have at home, the DDR Solo 2000, was something that I won at Arcade Infinity 2, that tournament back in 2001.
Yeah, that's the one I know is the big one, because you actually got a DDR machine as a prize. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that's not too many machines have been won by, like, just people in general, at least within California that I know of. I can think of only maybe three people that won a machine. That'd be myself. I know 8Ball won a machine, and Bruce Leroy, yeah, he won a machine. All Freestyle.
And if you guys have questions for Mel B or any comments, you can join our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where Bob Coffey says, whoa, Arcade Infinity, I haven't heard that name in a long time. Yeah, well, it's because they unfortunately went under. They're no longer around. And rest in peace, Arcade Infinity, says MXC. But many, many good memories made at Arcade Infinity with these tournaments and so forth. So backing up a little bit, was it that ICQ conversation, which I'm cracking up that you had a conversation on ICQ. Was it an ICQ conversation that led to you getting into Freestyle, or what enabled you to start this whole Freestyle stuff?
I think after, you know, obviously when we're first playing the game, we're still just trying to learn to play the game. I kind of had a modicum of how to play rhythm games, because my first love was always Bust-A-Move / Bust-A-Groove.
Heck
now,
yeah.
That's like, yeah, that game got me into import games and, like, just music games in general.
Me too. Same drug.
Yeah, so when I saw that game for the first time, I was like, dude, this is Bust-A-Groove with your feet. I'm totally in. So yeah, after, like, maybe 2 or 3 months of sort of, you know, taking my lumps, getting my ass kicked on, like, My Fire, and, like, because of all the jumps. Yeah, just once I saw the performance part of it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that looks cool. And me, I mean, it's not like I had a professional dance background or anything like that. I was pretty much like any kid growing up in the 80s and 90s, grew up on, like, a little bit watching breakdancing on TV. I watched, like, MTV. It was basically my babysitter between junior high and early college. So I always watched, like, Club MTV, The Grind, all that kind of stuff. I could do everything from, like, Bobby Brown and, like, Janet and all that stuff. I just, you know, watched and, like, played along at home, and it's like, whoa, I could kind of do this on DDR, and, like, no one be none the wiser, so I pulled it off.
Kids today will never know the wonders of television programs where you just watch other people dance.
Dude, Soul Train after Saturday morning cartoons.
Right?
That was me.
Yeah.
Soul Train lines, man. Honestly, that's one of the best rabbit holes you can fall into on YouTube. If you just YouTube Google, like, Soul Train Dance Lines, you have like an instant hour of like pure happiness.
And then you Wikipedia who the dancers were, the Soul Train dancers, and find out where they are now, which I spent two nights ago doing that.
Damn those Wikipedia black holes.
Oh, yeah. You had like a Fred Rerunberry from like a What's Happening. Yeah, like I think it was a couple of the guys who joined Shalimar was actually like Jody Watley, Jeffrey, what's his name? But yeah, they were all discovered through Soul Train.
So, Mel, kind of going back to a point I brought up earlier, you know, DDR, we see it in the news recently. It's kind of come back. Like, DDR, you know, it felt like it kind of went away for a little while. You were hearing more about the rock bands and guitar heroes of the world. You weren't really hearing a lot about DDR. And it just feels like within the past few years, especially with DDR Ace, especially with Round 1 kind of becoming bigger and bigger and getting a lot of the DDR machines, same thing with Dave and Buster's are kind of getting a lot of those machines in their arcades. It feels like DDR is coming back a bit. And we do hear about tournaments, but the tournaments really focus on Score Attack and Perfect Attack, which is cool. That's the stuff I used to do, you know, when I was much thinner playing DDR back in those days. So that's cool that that's getting all that recognition. But what happened to freestyle, Mel? Where did the freestyle go?
Honestly, I would say a lot of it died around 2007-ish or so, because it was after, I think, a couple years of Supernova. And really, the arcade releases were kind of few and far in between. It kind of started petering out in the USA because we had a lot of competition from the non-dancing games. You know, we had, like, people playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band stuff at home. Mm-hmm. That's probably one thing. But really, it's just, I mean, if I were to believe everything that Jason Enos, who was, like, the product manager of DDR in USA, he knew that Japan wasn't really big on marketing dance games out here, and just because DDR for like the PlayStation 1 when we released that, they only gave us around 2,000 copies and it sold out so fast, and they were like, oh, maybe there is a market. So they threw a few bones here and there, and eventually it just kind of died out. And then we think past Supernova, I think the last sort of thing was DDRX, which as far as a gaming engine, it was actually really smooth, but the pads were like complete trash because I think they went to a new different cabinet designer. And just think it picked up by a lot of arcades. A lot of arcades didn't pick up DDR X2 2014 or X2 versus X3. It just kind of flew under the radar. So it wasn't being at the major anchors like, say, D&B or like the arcade scene was already dying as was.
Right.
So now we have like this rebirth with, say, Round 1. And like, I know D&B had a big thing like handshake, I guess, with Konami to get their machines. This was like the most massive release of DDR now in America. I mean, when a lot of people are just like, they gave the game up for dead, they started playing like, oh, this is cool. And on top of that, now that you have internet ranking for Score Attack, that's where you get a whole bunch of the people back into the game because, you know, online gaming, you know, has been the thing for a long while. That's why people play at home because online gaming, you ain't got to go anywhere. As far as getting like sort of freestyle into the whole thing, you know, it's always been one of those things where you kind of had to have someone who was in the scene to help promote and all that kind of stuff. And the thing was, I guess we just got to the point where we were sick of playing for like 50% of the pot in arcade tokens because, you know, it wasn't as nearly well sponsored and all. It was just all there was, you know. I mean, a lot of these freestyle tournaments were a lot of a DIY type effort.
Sure.
You know, we did it for love, and it was just us, you know, getting together, promoting, helping the community. You know, if it wasn't for freestyle tournaments and all that stuff back in 2000, 2001, music gaming would not really be where it is now because of all those things. That's how Guitar Hero, you know, pops off. You know, that's how like companies like Red Octane and all that come up in with these things and the Harmonix, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, if you really think about it, people like us, you know, you, me, Sakura, all that stuff, it's like we kind of started this revolution. I mean, we don't really think about it actively because we don't want to like be on some high horse and like, oh yeah, I started that. But you know, you ask an outsider, you tell them this story, this is kind of, you know, this is our footprint on, you know, gaming society as we know it.
Well, you mentioned in there doing it for the love, and I have a feeling that is where this event that you're really here to promote kind of comes from, is doing it for the love. So coming up on January 27th, that's this coming Saturday, you guys are going to be having a tournament at Round 1 in San Jose. It is called the DDR Freestyle Takeover Tournament, and this is, if I'm correct, this is a freestyle-only tournament. We're not going to have this. We just had Score Attack this last weekend, right? So this is freestyle-only, right?
Freestyle only.
Freestyle only. Where did who started the conversation on? Let's bring it back, yo.
This was actually done after a few drinks at a California Extreme last summer.
Aren't the best things after a few drinks?
Yeah, we were just taking a break from all the arcade games, and I forget what we were talking about. I guess just because we were in Bimani Row for a while, and we were just talking tournaments and said, hey, you know, with DDRA back being a thing now, we should totally have a tournament because someone just needs a freestyle to Ariana Grande. This just needs to happen.
Yeah, and we just Mel, is everybody going to freestyle to Ariana Grande?
I'll tell you this much. There are a couple of us who are judges, and we're all doing exhibitions. None of us are doing it.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So the Ariana Grande will be limited.
Well, you never know. I mean, it could be the next Ties Off You for all we know, you know, or like Brilliant to You or Love to Me. But there are also a lot of other songs there. There's Fever. There's some decent songs. The one thing I will say about DDRA where it kind of missed the boat is, you know, there could have been more R&B, like danceable songs, mm-hmm. because that's where freestyle, a lot of the bread and butter comes with those like 100 to 120 BPM R&B like dance type tracks. Yeah. A lot of the music nowadays kind of tends towards like J-core and like the happy hardcore like kind of stuff.
I think that's kind of why, Mel, when my buddy JD or anybody else convinces me to get on a DDR machine these days, I'll play Ariana Grande because I kind of have to. But then, like, after that, I'm kind of like, I want to go play the old shit. Like, I want to go back to Fifth Mix and play Ecstasy. You know what I mean?
Oh, agreed. I mean, after I play, you know, that song to warm up, maybe I'll play, like, something from the X2 or X3, and then I'll go back to, like, Supernova and play, like, Ska number 3 or like Saturday Night Love. But that could just fun.
That could just be us being old too. Back in my day, the music was better. But anyway,
wouldn't be wrong. Huh? Not by much.
Well, we'll see what kind of music selections, because we don't know what people are going to be picking in advance. They're probably still putting the finishing touches on their freestyles. It's not too late to join, though, right? If somebody still wants to sign up, if they're, for whatever reason, hearing this and happen to be in the Bay Area and want to get in on this, it's not too late, right? You can. What's the best way? Oh. Go to Facebook or search Eventbrite or what?
I'd say the best way to go is go to freestyletakeover.com. You have all the information there. It kind of gives us our mission statement. It'll link you there to our Eventbrite page where you can pre-reg. Or, I mean, if just for whatever reason, you can come the day of the event and register. But go to, freestyletakeover.com. Or you can search us on Facebook at Freestyle Takeover. You can RSVP that you're interested or that you're going. You know, that's always appreciated too. But, yeah, sign up. If you do pre-reg, you get a exclusive competitor swag bag. So we're trying to incentivize all this. On top of that, there's going to be some pretty awesome stuff for people who place.
Nice. Yeah, what I'm reading here, first place gets 60% of the pot, second place gets 30%, third place gets 10%, but you guys have, like, extra little bonus things getting thrown in too, huh?
Extra little things in there. I'll see the swag bag. There's a custom trophy for first place too.
Nice.
Yeah, we're getting, you know, hot with it. I mean, the whole thing about this tournament, aside from just sort of trying to revive this community and sort of piggybacking off of the newfound popularity of it is, you know, we're just doing this for, I mean, all the stuff that we're putting into it, it's out of our, we're not really getting much help from elsewhere. You know, this is like just five dudes who wanted to pump some life into this. And, you know, we will, not only do we want the freestyle scene to thrive again, because we know how fun it makes the game look. You know, it's like, think about it. All these people who entered, they could be the next face of freestyle in America, if not the world.
Do you think though that these young bucks, these young new faces of freestyle, may have to compete against some returnees? Do you think some of the folks from back in the day will dust off the shoes and give it one more go?
Anytime you dangle a good amount of money in front of them, or, you know, some sort of tangible prize, they will come out.
I don't profess to follow a lot of sports, but if I'm not mistaken, didn't some 40-year-old quarterback get another Super Bowl trip today?
As a matter of fact, he did. If you look at a common thread along a lot of the freestylers back in the day, a lot of us were just competitive guys by nature. You know, if there's money involved, we're going to bust the ass for it. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a card game. It could be a dance game. You know, I think that's the thing about competition freestyle. It brings out people who like are creative and want to go that extra mile for, you know, the goods.
I still have an orange bat.
Yeah.
Oh, the orange bat of doom. That was a stomp to my beat, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yes. Sir.
If you want to do well, you do want to take some effort to plan out your routine. Don't invent it the day of the contest. Like,
hey,
ours
was pure spite.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. Now, we, of course, here at Orange Lounge Radio, not all of our listeners are in Northern California. We have folks coast to coast and even in other countries as well. We're very fortunate to have folks that are worldwide. So now I remember back in the day, if you knew a tournament was happening for us, let's say we knew a tournament was happening at 8 on the break on the East Coast or something, we would have to wait for the AVI or the MOV files to be posted on DDR Freak. So we could download them and check it out. But technology's come a long way, hasn't it, Mel? How will folks be able to participate?
Well, let's see. Yeah, we have come a long way since people hosting on their FTP servers. Shout out to Vuju and Eugene.
Shout out.
But yeah, nowadays, today, actually, not today, but for the day of the tournament, if you're unable to make it in person, we will be streaming on Twitch. We will have the link on freestyletakeover.com. For our channel.
That's awesome, because maybe you'll have folks in other parts of the U.S. or maybe even other parts of the world that kind of watch this and go, hey, we missed this too. We need to get together and do a tournament in our neck of the woods. Do you think that's something that – would you hope that something like that happens?
It'd be awesome. I mean, I don't want this to – you know, for us to have some sort of monopoly on this. Like, yeah, only we can do the freestyle tournaments and all that kind of stuff. I mean, because this – if you want something to do well, you want it to do well everywhere. You know, it's not a selfish act by any means. Yeah, I mean, the only freestyle I could think of, honestly, for DDR that I know it is even out there. There's one team in Japan, actually, called Team Panda-san. And I know they do Pump It Up as well as DDR. Mm. And those cats are good. So, yeah, give them a look-see sometime. Yeah, Team Panda-san. And, they still capture the fun and like creativity that made people actually download stuff in our, you know, DDR videos and all. Because if you try to watch a PA tournament, it's funny because you're not really looking at the people. You're just watching the screen to see, you know, who slips up, who's the one that gets the great first. So in a way, it's not a fun thing to look at if you're not even looking at the players. When you're watching freestyle, you are looking at the player. They mm-hmm. are the center of attention. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where the personalities come out. You know, I mean, I think freestyle is just, We're different cats, but in a good way. It's not like we're, you know, everything PA is not, therefore we're better. No, we're two different tastes that you can appreciate for different reasons. So that's why I would, you know, when we did Freestyle Takeover, this is absolutely not a slight at Score Attack people. If not for them being at the KAC last year, you know, like the guy Chris for Life, he, you know, from America, won that whole entire thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have him and we have, like, you know, the guy Jeff Funga, who I think he was, like, in third place or something. So, you know, those guys brought a lot of shine to the gaming scene out here. I know Chris got, like, his own expose on Polygon and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and, you know, I don't see the two as competition for each other at all. Like, for me, it's kind of like, you know, the DDR tournaments back in the day always had both. So this is kind of like a yin and a yang type of thing. Like, this is bringing back the other half in a way.
Yeah, yeah, we're hoping we have something for, you know, by having freestyle and by having perfect attack. I think the Score Attack leads to, like, people who are more, you know, hardcore DDR fans and, you know, want to see that sort of competition, just, like, see the best, the elite people going against each other. Freestyle is something, like, if it's done well, you could just show your friends at work and be like, yeah, this is the goofy stuff that we do, you know, and we're about mass appeal and fun.
Nice. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck with the tournament. Again, this is the DDR Freestyle Takeover Tournament. You can check out more information at freestyletakeover.com, including Twitch links the day of the tournament. It is scheduled to start at round one, 3 o'clock. That's 3 o'clock Pacific this Saturday. So if you are around the world, that would be a little bit later or maybe earlier, depending on where you're at. Again, that's the round one in San Jose at the Eastridge Mall. And I know I'm going to be taking the trip out there to make a cameo, just like the good old days, so I can watch and absorb what's going on, so I can come right back here on this program and talk about it just like I used to.
Bring the doctor. Bring the doctor back.
Oh, he got deported back to Canada.
Aw. You mean deported, I figured he would have left on his own terms after, you know, everything that went on in this country.
It was a little bit of both. It was a little bit of both. But like I said, you don't want to come up with routines the day of, and that was always the good doctor's trick. So I don't know. Maybe when you come back for Freestyle Takeover 2019 and I'm 30 pounds lighter, maybe we can talk about that.
Let's make it happen, Captain.
All right. Mel, best of luck to you and everyone involved. I know it's not just you, but you got a whole team of guys doing that over there. And best of luck to everybody there. And I look forward to seeing it in person this Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. And, you know, congrats on all you get. Congrats on your new podcast, for sure.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mel, is this a return to RTF?
Ooh, now we're getting to, like, exhibit zone where it's like, you know, Subdog, I heard you like returns, so we'll return to RTF.
Return to Freestyle.
Stay tuned, we'll find out. By the way, some comments here over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster saying it was nice hearing a bit of DDR history. I miss arcades. Guess what, Dungeon Buster, depending on where you're at, they're still there. I mean, round one seems to be doing very well as a chain. They're kind of growing. I hear they're opening up more locations. Dave and Buster's, they're doing pretty well. I know a lot of, like, throwback retro arcades, especially arcades
in
bars.
We have coin op here.
Yeah, like, we have coin op here locally, but those types of things are showing up everywhere, and many of those places have DDR machines. Although, wouldn't recommend mixing alcohol and DDR, but it's been known to happen, hence where my alter ego probably came from in the first place. Oh, and of course, I have to ask this because Orange Wright reminded me of this in chat. I can't believe I forgot to ask this question, so I'll end on this. Mel, will Matrix walks be allowed in the competition?
Oh, but that is actually one of the rules we specifically addressed, and no.
Womp womp. But it's understandable because Matrix, if you don't know what a Matrix walk is, you know, remember in the movie The Matrix where they would, like, run up the walls and then kind of, well, there used to be a move where you could actually run up the DDR machine.
And that was terrible.
Yeah, and it looks impressive the first time you see it, but then you think, oh, shit, that machine really shouldn't be kicked.
I would be disappointed if there wasn't at least one caution drop.
It is an expensive piece of technology. All right.
Yeah, and if, you know, people come down to round one Eastridge, it's like, you know, you can see just how much music games have evolved with, like, a lot of new machines. I know there's Dance Evolution out there, which I haven't seen very many machines around at all, which is pretty much like Dance Central / Dance Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have, like, the machine out there, and I need someone to play because, like, I think I'm one of two people that play that game.
I've been getting into randomly out here in Rockland, in my neck of the woods. They have Neon FM, and that's, like, something. It's kind of like American Papa music in a way. That's, like, a really lazy way to describe it. It's probably the best thing I can think of, and I've been, like, kind of into that lately.
So, okay, yeah. I've heard some, like, whispers and rumblings that round one may be coming to Sacramento.
God, I hope so.
I really hope so.
We just got a place called. What's it? I keep wanting to say it's called Punch Drunk Social, but it's like Punch it's Punch Bowl Social or something. And it just kind of sounds like Dave and Buster's meets the Real Housewives of El Dorado County. So I'm a little little confused on it, but I've yet to visit.
Have to play DDR while balancing a glass of wine in my hand?
God, I would love if we got a round one.
There's like a Franzia box just right by the machine.
All right, hey, we're planning our routine for 2019. Stay tuned.
Franzia box. Yes.
All right. Mel, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know it was short notice. And again, I will see you on Saturday.
Okay. Glad to see you all. And y'all have a good rest of the evening. Thanks again. And everybody, freestyletakeover.com.
All right. Freestyletakeover.com. We'll see you on Saturday. Thanks again, Mel.
Thanks. You have a great one.
You too. Good old Mel B from episode 6. To episode 715, there he is talking about freestyle all these years later. Hey, I am all for that. So you gotta bring in the old and bring in the new, which is kind of, you know, coming off the heels of, I just mentioned, just launched episode 1 of a new podcast tonight. So hopefully this one lasts a little longer than Pokestop did. But sometimes you get one that goes a long time. Sometimes you don't. But yeah. I wish nothing but the best for this freestyle.
I think Monday Comics Mania made it 5 episodes.
You went longer than that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I did make a friend through that podcast.
Yeah.
Because we had Todd Stashwick on the show.
Oh, okay.
Now he's, like, really successful with 12 Monkeys on
uh-huh.
Sci-Fi.
Uh-huh.
And he had been on The Riches, but I always remembered him from Supernatural.
Yeah, when I did the Horde House show for a long time with, you guys know Grandpa, Next Fern Shane, we did the Horde House, and that one lasted a good 130 some odd episodes. So it was a pretty good run for Horde House. We got some people that were like really into the Blizzard games, like World of Warcraft, that kind of came over here to OLR because of it. So, you know, just it,
girl, you mentioned the WoW.
Well, I guess we should talk about our gaming weeks. What a nice transition into the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I started on WoW again. And apparently I had a Demon Hunter on Proudmoore, but I'm in some guild, and I think it's one Shane added me to. So we need our guild. We need to make our guild.
I'll talk about WoW in a minute.
Okay.
All right.
But I also remembered I had like my troll named Einaj, who was a backwards of Jaina. Mm-hmm. So she was fun. But yeah, I think that was also the same server I had Gyaru on. My elf pretty bitch. Anyway, so I played WoW. Did Legion stuff because I had my demon hunty. And then I have been playing really not a lot, just Pokemon Ingress when I feel like walking. What else did I play? Oh, yeah, I'm playing Animal Crossing.
Of course.
Because it's adorbs.
Didn't they finally announce they're adding like clothing customization?
Yeah, you can craft clothes now. It's not
Abel
really,
and Mabel. Are they back?
It's not customization yet. You can just they give you outfits you can craft.
I see.
And like crafting 5 outfits will give you like 10 leaf tickets, so that's not bad.
Okay.
They have like Rover's garden rally or whatever, and you catch butterflies and you get all these achievements for butterfly catching. And it's kind of fun. You know, I've just been, I'm level 56 now. So, and of course I'm still playing Miitomo, kind of.
All right.
That's it.
All right. My gaming week. So I also played WoW for a little bit, but here's the thing. I don't like that new patch. They put out a new patch on Tuesday. I'm not a fan. Have you tried to go back and do any old content, Jamie?
Not yet.
The old, I first thing I did was I did a dungeon because I was working on my shaman on my alliance side. And the first thing I did was I rolled into a dungeon, and it wasn't like I get that the dungeons before were pretty face roll, but they kind of amped it up like too much, and it was just taking too much time to get through stuff. And of course the other people in the party weren't used to it, so nobody's doing crowd control or any of that stuff because you didn't have to before. Like, unfortunately, I kind of feel like it went from one extreme to another, and it just wasn't very fun. And so meanwhile, while all of that is going on, you know, I did some kind of did a lot of thinking on Final Fantasy 14 and kind of what I was doing in that game. And I made a really tough decision to actually transfer servers in Final Fantasy 14 to kind of see if I could get reinvigorated for the game there, which sucks because I really enjoyed the group that I was playing with before. But because unfortunately, one big thing, I love 14, but one massive thing that it lacks that WoW does better is that in WoW, it doesn't really matter what servers your friends are on. At the end of the day, if I really want to play with somebody who happens to be on another server, in the same country, there still is a wall with the Europe servers and the Asia servers and all that. But if I want to play with one of my friends on whatever server, we can dungeon together. We can raid together. And Final Fantasy 14 is starting to get there. It got mostly there the last patch, but the problem is there's still two different data centers. So I had some really good friends of mine, and we've promoted their podcast here on this show before. They do a show called Astral Era, and I've been wanting to play with those guys for a long, long time. Things were really slowing down on the old server, so I was like, all right, I'm going to make a really tough choice, and I'm going to say, I'm going to go over here and play with my Astral Era buddies for a little while, and I'm just going to hope, and I'm going to cross my fingers that at some point Square Enix is able to get their servers the way WoW is, and I can play with my old friends again, and I don't have to make tough choices like these. So, but for now, that's what I did, and it's tough. It's tough, but, you know, in some ways, it did kind of reinvigorate 14 for me. So, yes, I'm still paying for two MMOs. I'm going to keep giving WoW, especially now that you're playing WoW again, and I think the Game Buoy guys are checking out WoW again, so I have reasons to kind of go back and give that another chance.
Does this
chance.
Mean I can't go back and roll old dungeons and just plow through them, though?
At first, no, and they screwed some stuff up. Like, you couldn't even go hunting for mounts in old raids because the old raids would sync up to your level.
Let you pick it now?
Yeah, I think, supposedly, I haven't checked, but they were supposed to do a patch that fixed a lot of that on Friday.
Yeah.
Because definitely a lot of players weren't happy about that, you know?
Because, I mean, that was how I was basically just rolling through those old dungeons trying to get the achievements out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that I can, I mean, me and
I don't think it was me and John. It was me and someone else. Just went in and we were like plowing through all of the Warlords stuff.
Yeah, and that's fun to do, you know?
Once we hit like rating level, we could go plow through them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you steamroll it, but at the same time, you get to see elements of the story that you might have missed because you haven't been paying for the game for 12 years straight or however, 13 years straight or however long that game's been around. So anyway, so hopefully the WoW patch stuff, again, I haven't checked it out since Tuesday, the day the patch came out. I understand they've done some fixes, so I am going to give it a second shot because, of course, I got billed for my month like the day before the patch hit, so I still have time to make a decision on that, so...
Yeah.
But now I'm juggling two MMOs. And I'm still trying to play stuff in between as well. Been still super into Heroes of the Storm. Like, I was actually watching a competitive competition on Heroes of the Storm the other day because I'm starting to understand the game a lot better. Mm-hmm. I still mostly stick to AI, but, like, I'm finding so many heroes that I enjoy playing.
I'll play with you again because I've got... I was playing Illidan for a while, which he dies squishy, mm-hmm. you know, which is weird. Mm-hmm. But he's a lot of fun, and I think I just unlocked Sylvanas.
Yeah.
So,
well, and if you haven't played in a long time, you probably never redeem the thing where you just get 20 heroes for free.
Probably.
So there's like a ton of stuff you can get. Yeah, definitely check it out.
Okay. Because, I mean, now that I'm playing, you know, I want to get back into playing more stuff more often.
Yeah, cool.
And I actually mentioned to Dan today that I wanted to bust out the Dreamcast and finish my Grandia 2 for one thing, which I was so happy with that game. It's one of the few that the Japanese save files will work on the American game. Mm-hmm. So... because I'd already gotten like a third through the game on the Japanese version.
I don't talk a lot about the mobile gaming stuff that I do, but I think it's worth a shout out that I did participate in the Pokemon Go Community Day yesterday because once a month they do these community days for Pokemon Go. So I have friends that play that. They don't play, you know, Ingress that we were talking about last week, but they play Pokemon Go. And so we all went downtown. We were a little worried because they had the huge march downtown yesterday, too. But that was all kind of on the west side of the Capitol. So it left the east side of the Capitol to be the Whalmer Farms / Shiny Pikachus. And I caught 4 Shiny Pikachus yesterday because, you know, every lure or every stop.
Shiny Pikachu.
Yeah, every stop at the Capitol was lured up and Pikachus were showing up everywhere. And I think all three of us that did that together yesterday really agreed that was a really cool, like, thing that Niantic did. And it seems like they're going to be doing this more. They're going to do it once a month. And I think that's great. I had a great time yesterday just going out and taking a walk around the Capitol and playing cell phone games with people I don't always get to play cell phone games with because we don't always play the same thing. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun. So, kudos to Niantic. I know I give them a lot of shit sometimes on the show, but I thought the community event was a lot of fun. I just hope the next one isn't Shiny Pikachu again, but I don't think it will
be. I hope it is because I missed it.
Well, the good news is Shiny Pikachus didn't get deleted. It's just that the odds of getting one yesterday were really good. Like, you know, again, I caught 4 out of maybe the 120 overall.
I wish that they would, like, bring in trading.
Yeah, because I'd happily trade you one. So, because I also got Kyogre yesterday. That made me very happy. Although, I was getting so frustrated at Kyogre. I was like, Shane, you keep catching him. You do it. And he used my phone and he caught it. So technically, Shane caught the Kyogre for me. But I don't care. It's mine. looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, ActDef says, it needs to be more hours. I was actually busy during the time the event was. Yeah, that's the number one complaint I'm hearing is that it was only like a 3-hour event and it should have been a little longer. And so, yeah, I kind of agree with that. And Raw Cat in chat says, I got no shiny Pikachu. Well, the good news is, and the same thing I'm telling Dark Sakura, is that shiny Pikachus didn't go away. You could still get one. It's just the odds are still kind of, odds are going to be a little yucky, but Shinies are supposed to be a little special. SSG100 Matt, ouch, in chat, ouch, says, my girlfriend caught 7 shiny Pikachus. I got 0. Wah, 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 wah. Well, sorry to hear that, buddy. Hopefully trading opens up for you, too. There you go. All right.
I just caught a Nidoran in your bathroom.
Okay. Congratulations. Thank you for getting him out of the bathroom.
It was a lady. How dare you assume gender?
Thank you for getting
her out
of the bathroom.
And look, bitch ran, so whatever.
All right. Let's get into... I don't think I have any other announcements here. We still have plenty of shows coming up. Next week on the show, definitely I'll be talking about the DDR tournament next week. And I'm going on a trip in March, but that's still like 2 months away. But that's all booked. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Leaving on a jet plane.
I'm going to Atlanta off season. I'm not going for Dragon Con. I'm going for other stuff.
I'm going to Drag Con.
Are you? I wish you'd go to Dragon Con someday. It's so much fun. I got to get Captain Matt from Starboard Power Coupling, which, by the way, shout out to that show because they had me on as a guest this past week. I forgot to shout them out earlier, but shout out to Starboard Power Coupling. We got to talk about Star Trek Discovery, the first two episodes back from the break. So that was a lot of fun because I had some things to say about it, especially the big twist in that first episode. I had some things to say about that. So anyway, but I don't want to spoil for those that haven't seen it yet because some people are waiting to binge it when it's all out. They're going to get CBS All Access in February and binge the whole thing, which makes sense. Anyway, you'll have to check out Starboard Power Coupling if you want to hear. Let's get in some more gaming news. We have plenty of gaming news going on this week. It's kind of a quiet week, but not really. We still had stuff here and there. So Jamie's going to start us off.
Well, we're getting Forza Fable. Kidding. Playground Games, who did Forza Horizon, is working on a Fable title. So it is in new hands and hopefully won't, suck. Fable 3 was not great, I'm just saying.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't like it either.
But Fable 2 was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good.
And I love Forza Horizon. Forza Horizon is probably like my favorite Xbox exclusive thing. Like, it's just, it's a great racing, but it feels more arcadey. See, there's racing sims and like racing arcade, and Forza Horizon is a great racing arcade game, and I really enjoy it. Now, of course, people are going to think that means, then this means that they're going to bring cars into Fable. Well, they might, but at the same time, can't a developer do different genres? I would bet that a lot of those types of studios probably get really bored of making the same thing over and over, which is why they eventually hand it off to someone else. Hence how Mass Effect got ruined for Jamie and I. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, they're saying that it's not going to be out very soon. Playgrounds has a new office in Leamington Spa, Warwickshire. So this is being developed in the UK. Once they've got their people hired, then they're looking to start development at that point, which I hope it doesn't fall into development hell, and then get canceled like... what was it? Fable Legends?
Yeah, Fable Legends was that whole... Yeah. I think it was going to be free-to-play or something, and it showed up 1E3, and then it fizzled out, which was really sad for Lionhead Games, because,
Lionhead is no more now.
Yeah, I know it's... But I don't like people losing their jobs.
No, not at all.
Hopefully they got hired by these guys or somewhere else.
So. Possibly. But at any rate, the last time we had a Fable game was Fable Anniversary in 2014.
It's been a long time.
Well, 4 years.
Yeah, maybe. But Fable Anniversary was just like a rebranding of older stuff. I don't think it was anything new. Looking in chat, by the way, talking about studios going from one genre to another, Dungeon Buster points out in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Guerrilla Games did nothing but Killzone for years. Then they made Cyber Monster Hunter, a.k.a. Horizon Zero Dawn, which was obviously a huge thing on the PlayStation 4. So, that's been like a game of the year for a lot of people. Going back to read some other comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, SSJ100 Matt talking about the Pokemon Community Day saying, we had a huge turnout in Central Park, at least a couple hundred. There were a lot of people from the Silph Road community there. Yeah, I follow Silph Road. I kind of more of an observer there over on Reddit. I know they have a huge Reddit, and they do really good at kind of digging in what changes with the different patches and things like that. but I didn't really participate in any sort of official meetup like that, although I'm sure they were doing something here in Sacramento, I'm sure, where our show is based. Dungeon Buster also continuing about Fable, saying, Fable was neat. It had its issues as a series, but I'm interested to see how this new Fable might turn out. And then Ragenator in chat says, Forza plus Fable equals Forzable. That might be one way to name it, I suppose. Bobby Blackwolf saying that one of the games he actually completed was Fable 2. That is definitely a good accomplishment, knowing that Bobby Blackwolf actually went and beat your game. That's for sure. So, let's talk a little bit about, speaking of remakes and things of that sort, I want to talk about Disgaea, Hour of Darkness. Apparently, Disgaea, Hour of Darkness is getting an HD remake for its 15th anniversary. This was announced in a Nippon Ichi stream that they are going to be doing a Disgaea Hour of Darkness HD remake. There's no gameplay footage out or anything like that, but Nippon Ichi did announce a release window of this summer. Disgaea, of course, the original was a PlayStation 2 game. It was on the PSP. You know, pour one out for the PSP. It was on the Nintendo DS, and at one point it was on the PC. So we don't have screenshots, we don't have release dates, we don't have anything like that. But Disgaea is going to be the next game getting a PC remake. So were you a fan of Disgaea, Dark Sakura?
Not really. I didn't play it. It was around that time when I was just really not into as many games of that type. But, I mean, Disgaea had a big following, so I'm sure its fans will be pleased to find a new version.
It's one of those things where, like, I played it a little bit on the PlayStation 2, but, you know, gaming ADD, I never really got around to finishing it. And then there were all these sequels. So this will be a good chance to, like, go back and give it another go, which hopefully makes sense.
Yeah, no problem there.
Yeah.
So I have news for people who are like me, who like to play games on their PC or Mac. Although I planned on getting Dragon Ball FighterZ on PlayStation 4. This is for people who are going to be playing it on PC and let you know what you're going to need for your requirements. So I figured I'd go ahead and do y'all a favor and give you the stuff. So that at very minimum, you do need to be at lowest Windows 7. Have an AMD FX 4350 4.2 gigahertz Intel Core i5. Or an Intel Core i5 at minimum 3.2 gigahertz, 4 gigabytes of RAM. Graphics card recommended at minimum Radeon HD 6870 with 1 gig of RAM, or GeForce GTX 650 Ti. That was actually my last graphics card. I upgraded mine about 6 months ago with a 1 gigabyte DirectX 11, and of course the DirectX compatible sound card or onboard chipset. Recommended, it actually doesn't look like it's going to want a faster processor, but it's really not looking for anything great graphics card wise. Like it's saying a GeForce GTX 660. That's not terrible. I mean, that's a few years old. So yeah, they're saying older computers are going to be able to run it. It really did surprise me just how modest the requirements are, you know, by terms of what people have now. So I could only think of are how much better it would play on a higher end system. I mean, and it's using Unreal 4 for its graphics engine. And it's the same one that Street Fighter V uses, or Tekken 7, which also look really, really good on a PC. So I think I might eventually pick it up on PC when price drops, but my home, I'm going to play it on PS4 because I can use my, we've got arcade controllers for PS4. It's like fighting controllers. So
oh, sure.
Yeah.
Got to be authentic. And some people in chat wondering how serious you might take this. Tiger Claw in chat saying Dragon Ball FighterZ is no doubt going to be huge in the fighting game tournaments. So maybe it's time to practice it because perhaps someday you'll become the Dragon Ball FighterZ champion.
You want to know what?
Or Dragon Ball Fighters. Are you supposed to say Fighter Z or Fighters?
It's Fighter Z from what I understand.
Okay.
But I am not. The last tournament that I was in that had nothing to do with DDR was Bust a Move 2.
Which is kind of adjacent in a way.
Well, and on top of that, it was the one where they gave me a busted controller that they replaced after I got eliminated. I had been playing in mix mode before that for like an hour and no one could beat me. So just saying.
Nice.
I think this was it. Was it at fun? It was at an AX. It was at an anime expo. So it was a while back.
I think I did some tournament at MAGFest. Somebody talked me into doing it. I don't know if I did Smash or something, but it was something I wasn't even good at. But
I'm not really competitive by nature, I guess. I mean, I get competitive, but I more participate in things just because I'll have fun doing it.
Yeah.
I don't care about
but
winning.
The competition can be fun.
That part's not fun for me. Hmm. I'm not a competitor. The only person I like to compete against is myself.
Okay.
And so, and I don't like a whole lot of attention on me, you know? I mean, yeah, I may be kind of vocal and loud when it comes to being on a podcast or being on social media. But in person, you know, I don't really like that much attention on me.
Well, but this is also like for, you know, podcasting in general can be an outlet of sorts for a lot of people. Like just, you know, the way I am on here may not always reflect exactly. Like, I think in real life, I might be a lot more quiet until I, like, get to know
Girl.
You and then I open up. No, well, it just depends. It depends.
Sometimes.
You haven't seen me, like, around people I don't know. I kind of go, like, ooh. But, you know, I also tell people, like, if you see me at a convention or something like that, I'm a normal fucking person. Just come up and say hi, you know, as long as you're not creepy. Like, yeah. Which most people aren't. So, you know, just say hi. I always am flattered when people recognize me from this whole thing. So
yeah,
but sometimes I worry that I might come off as guarded or something because I don't talk a lot unless I like know the situation and know the people. So
yeah.
Wow, that got off topic from that original chat
it
comment.
Sure, but did, but oh well. Hey.
Off topic on this show, you don't say. Well, let's talk about competition, because this is something that I didn't really get a chance to get into last week, because a lot of people were talking about it last week and now a lot of people are talking about it this week. Obviously, we were focused on Ingress and our guests that were here last week, so we didn't really get a chance to talk about the Overwatch League. So the Overwatch League launched last week, and it kind of came back in the news. I don't want to say it made a comeback, because it's kind of a lot of people are like super into Overwatch League. I've been seeing a lot of tweets about it and so forth. If for whatever reason you don't know what Overwatch League is, it's basically a big push by Blizzard to get Overwatch, you know, more into esports, but to be more akin to what you would see in a league that's like a NFL type of league, or an NBA, or a traditional, if you will, sports league. Overwatch League, I believe the vision there is to kind of do a hybrid. And well, let me get into the story, and then I'll get into some of my thoughts here. So a story that's making its way around the internet this week, and many people have actually seen this video. The Overwatch League did end up suspending a player this week. Dallas Fuel had their player XQC, whose name is Felix. He was suspended by the league and by Fuel because what he did, he actually said something that wasn't too nice on a Twitch stream of his. I believe he said something around the fact that this other player who goes by Muma, who's on another team, the Houston Outlaws, so there's kind of that whole Texas rivalry, I guess, thing going on, was basically something like, go suck a fat cock, but you might like that type of thing. And so it was shitty. Like, I don't know how to say it. I was actually going to try to find, I wanted to find the video. I thought I had.
Well, depending on where that cock's been, literally.
I was going to try to find the video here, but unfortunately, I thought I had linked myself to it. Well, let me ask you this. Before not considering this story here, let me ask Jamie this to buy me a little time while I find this video so you can draw your own conclusion. Mm. What do you think about the concept of Overwatch League? Not considering this part of it, what do you think about the concept of the Overwatch League?
If they have fun doing it, sure. You know, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with being competitive or forming, you know, teams to play Overwatch. If they have fun doing it that way, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and did harm none, do what you will, you know, but when you start harming other people in it, then that's when it becomes too much.
Okay, here's the clip. I finally found it. So judge for yourself what's happening here. So this is, again, XQC live on his stream.
Up to the fucking enemy bench of some dude that has like a broken arm, says, get fucked! I'll play! Dude! I smoke you, dude! No, he didn't smoke shit. Shut your fucking mouth, go back there, suck a fat cock. I mean, he would like it, but.
So many games ahead. Love you. All home of little Kappa.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing, dude. Please.
Now, what you kind of can't see...
And it's my line, too. Like, what?
Now, what you kind of can't see happening there is that once those words left his mouth, his jaw kind of dropped, and he kind of had that moment of like, oh, fuck. You know, like, I probably shouldn't have said that. So, like,
yeah.
For me, I'm kind of getting that, like, instant, like, he had this moment, like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that. And my understanding is that the other player involved in this, Muma, did say in his own videos that, like, he kind of just doesn't give a fuck type of thing. Like, he's you know, probably focused on the game or whatever. And he's him and this guy have kind of buried the hatchet. But the league in its response was immediate. They, you know, before the next match, they ended up suspending this player for a game. And I think he got a $2,000 fine, it was. And then actually the team, the Dallas Fuel, came out and said, we support what the Overwatch League did. And actually, we're going to bench him until stage two starts in early February. And some people, you know, that's where the debate is. Was this punishment too harsh? Was, you know, are we overreacting? Da, da, da. And, you know, I have to say, in one hand, it does kind of suck for the dude because I do see that he kind of has that remorse, you know, like instantly, or at least that's kind of, you know, what I'm taking away from it when I'm watching this. But at the same time, dude, like in the beginning of that clip, before he gets that, he's running his mouth constantly, right? And he's like doing all these different voices. Like he's got like verbal diarrhea or something. And like I get to do like a Twitch stream, you have to be entertaining sometimes, but you have to be very careful about the things that come out of your mouth. And obviously, you know, this guy recognizes it. He has, you know, written some tweets on it since. He crossed a line. Mm-hmm. And the problem here is that you are representing Overwatch and you are representing this league. And you did, you know, a negative thing. So this is the punishment. So at least I will give to this guy's credit. He does seem to, I want to say man up, but woman up, or, you know, person up.
Or maybe just be an adult.
Yes, he's being an adult and accepting his licks. And we're hopefully all going to be able to move on from this.
If only other people could follow suit. Right. You know?
So, and here's my thing. And I got to go back to talking about Overwatch League a little bit in general, because I'm glad the league responded as fast as they did, because maybe it goes to show that this kind of talk isn't really acceptable in their game either. Because I think we all know that Overwatch has a pretty toxic community right now. So I hope maybe this little slap kind of goes to show that Blizzard is taking some of this seriously and doesn't want to see it in their game either. And so I'm kind of glad that, you know, they smack down the representative. Do I think, you know, I think we live in a day and age where I think there might be some people about this guy that made the remark said he should be ruined. He's trash. He should get fired and all this stuff. And I'm like, not everything has to be black or white or A or B. I don't think this guy needs to get fired or anything like that. But I do think, which seems to be the case, what he's doing, he's taking his licks and he needs to take this moment to go, maybe I should watch my mouth.
I will say, on a personal level, it would make me really reluctant to want to be around this person or pay any more attention to what they do. Because you know now know that when they when that thought comes out in a moment of not thinking, right? That's what's inside them. That is how that person is. And yes, maybe they are garbage inside. You know, we have a lot of garbage in public places. Sure. You know, and yes, he could be a complete garbage human being, but he should still be treated as fairly as anybody else who lets something out or makes a mistake. You know, I have, especially, well, you know, with what's going on in Hollywood right now. Yeah, I've called out a lot of people saying they're garbage. And when their reputation is part of their business, then, yeah, ruin them. That's perfectly fine. That's their personal business.
There's a difference between somebody like Harvey Weinstein, who has profited off of, like, disgusting shit repeated over the years, over and over, and built a culture. There's a big difference between him and he. That guy is garbage. There's a big difference between him and this guy who says, go suck a dick, you might like it. You know? He said a dumb shit thing. If he recognizes,
it wasn't even that.
If he recognizes, I did a garbage thing and can own up to it, then you know what? Fine. We can all get past it.
That's the part that gives me some hope. The fact that he copped to it and is taking his punishment like an adult. You know, people who whine and try to say, oh, I never did it. It didn't happen. Or deny it or say, I don't care. Those people are even bigger pieces of garbage.
Now, some folks in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, I've watched entertaining streamers based on that sample alone. That's not someone I'd watch. Then that's kind of where I'm at too. You know, Act Deft in chat says XQC's gotten in trouble before. Do you remember the guy that got banned for reporting One Tricks? It's the same guy, and he got in trouble not for the reports, but for abusing the system and not using it properly. SG100 Matt says there's a huge problem with people taking things too far in the competitive esports gaming community. The fighting game community is a prime example. Things have gotten better, but it spans all esports, and we still have a ways to go. I'm kind of glad you pointed that out, because that brings me back to some of my thoughts on the Overwatch League as a whole, because I did watch that first day of matches, and I have to admit, I'm just going to be honest here, but let me finish my thought before you cut me off with your response, because I know a lot of you are very hardcore in the Overwatch League here. So when I first was watching the Overwatch League, you know, I think I was watching the San Francisco Shock, which is like our local team or whatever you want to say, was playing, and I don't even remember what team they were playing at this point, but I remember it was the San Francisco Shock or whatever their first match was. I was watching some of that. And I thought the production value of it was really good. I did think the commentators were doing a good job. I thought they made it kind of look like I was like Overwatch as an NFL thing. Like, you were able to see things that you wouldn't necessarily see in the game, like overhead maps. I thought the commentators did a good job talking about strategies and why things looked a certain way. I thought the arena was a really kick-ass setup, and I thought, like, to be there live was probably a pretty exciting thing. All that being said, there were a few things that kind of struck me, and one of them was that I was like, but these guys, the San Francisco Shock, like, how many of them are actually from San Francisco or actually play in San Francisco? And if I'm to understand, all of these teams are in LA playing at this one arena that they have. So what really separates these teams at the end of the day? Their owners, right? So there's a part of me that's kind of like, well, that's silly. Like, why do they all have these different branding in the city? However, before y'all cut me off, like I said, I've come to understand since then that this is like the goal. Blizzard wants to be there next year or the year after. So maybe this, having it all in kind of one place, is kind of like the first step. And then maybe in 2019, we'll see home and away games and things of that nature. So I can accept that. You know what? As a league that's got to grow and got to kind of prove its success to its investors, okay, you know what? Fine. You know, if that Blizzard arena that they have is going to be a template for other things, then cool. But here's the thing I'm not convinced on yet with Overwatch League. And it goes back to when they first rolled out that commercial at BlizzCon last year. I think it was 2016, actually. It would have been 2016 because it took a little while for the league to get going. And I remember the commercial was like, you know, it was showing this faceless name. And it was like, you train hard, you skill up, you do good, you get hired by a league, you get a salary, duh, 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 you do this, you do that, duh, duh. And it kind of had that feeling of like, you can do this. If you are a good enough Overwatch player, you too could be a part of the Overwatch League. And so, to my surprise, when I'm watching all of these teams play, there's something that's kind of missing. Anyone want to guess what it is that isn't really very reflective of our society and all the yous that could be out there playing? Women. There's no
shit.
Women in the Overwatch League. And I'm sorry, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. And look, here's the thing. I've heard all this shit. Okay, I'm aware of the Kotaku article about the Korean lady that does a really good Zarya. My understanding is she doesn't really want to be editorialized as somebody in this whole context or whatever. But that she, you know, why isn't she on a team? She's a really good Overwatch player. And the teams are coming out with, oh, but the co-ed housing. Oh, but they might date. Oh, but the, you know, it just isn't the right moment type of thing. I'm going to quote the great, astounding, and wonderful philosopher of our time, RuPaul Charles. I'm going to quote RuPaul from season 7, episode 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't want to hear any more goddamn excuses anymore.
Yeah.
Where are the fucking women? It's just that simple. Like, you mean to tell me out of 133 people or something that are playing in this league, there wasn't one woman? And I'm sorry, but it's not, I don't want a fucking token either. Like, out of 133 players, there should be, I mean, if it were to really
accurately reflect our society, it should be like half, right? But fuck, I think many of us would be happy if there were like 13 women, right? 10%. Let's start there. Is that too much to ask? You mean to tell me out of all the great players in the world, you can't find 10% that are women? I think we need to ask ourselves, if we want to be taking ourselves seriously, we need to ask ourselves, why aren't women getting committed to Overwatch doing this? Could it be because of behavior like what we just discussed here a minute ago?
I'd say that's a likely reason, but honestly, when we're still dealing with a patriarchal society, mm-hmm. you know, this is just another symptom of the disease. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the patriarchy is a disease, and it is ruining everything until we dismantle it.
So whereas I will give Overwatch props for setting this precedent and what they're going to do, you know, with you know, taking action on this negativity, and maybe that will make the Overwatch League feel more welcoming and maybe more people will train and all this stuff. Miss me with this fucking co-ed, they're going to date shit. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry, I've never dated a coworker.
And some people have, and it's fine. But I don't want to hear any fucking excuses. I'm not interested in them. So until the Overwatch League can more accurately reflect what they promised in the beginning, you, I'm not so sure I can get as excited about it. But you know what? The minute the league starts to correct some of these things, I'll be the first one to put on a jersey. I do wish them well. I hope they can get there. I feel like if anything can do it, this might be able to do it. But this is a problem that they're going to have to solve before they can get there. And that's my opinion.
Hey, no argument for me.
Over at chat, I haven't even looked at chat. Over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see. SSGO 100 Matt says, I know women who play Overwatch and they do get harassed mercifully. If I was being harassed for my gender, etc., why would I play and be a part of that community? To me, that's not fun. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I dated a coworker, but it was in college and we both happened to work at the same dorm front desk. Act Deft in chat says, I actually do understand where the league and the teams are coming from, especially since this does happen on regular sports. It's not about gender norms. It's about performance. Look, I know we have.
I hear excuse.
I know. I respectfully, Act Deft, I hear excuse. And my point is,
it's the same excuse men have been saying for an age.
If we want to really take this further, we have to get past the normal, because the normal doesn't work in this context. Does that make sense? I hope.
On top of that, that doesn't even apply.
Well, and here's my thought too. Okay, we have one out gay player in the league. Cool. That, you know what? That's awesome. And I applaud that guy for being out and, you know, just doing his thing and just being a gay Overwatch player who's really awesome. That's great. But I would doubt he's the only one who's actually gay. So there's probably Overwatch players who are already dating. Just like there's probably NFL players who are dating. And there's NBA players who are dating. But they're not out with it. Why? Because we as a society haven't figured out how to handle that appropriately yet. And unfortunately, people are afraid that if, you know, such and such, you know, NFL player comes out as gay and in a relationship or whatever, it's going to be lost dollars from homophobes who purchase jerseys.
Here's the other thing too. In a case of something that's typically male dominated, and I may be off base, but I was not too long ago looking up numbers about this. A gay man is going to be more accepted than a woman at all in a male dominated field. That's just how it is. And so I think that there's still going to be those struggles, but at the end of the day, it's another guy who is going to still fall into, I've got male privilege on my side, and the women are going to be overlooked. That's just how it is.
You know, we're talking a lot about women, but, you know, I'm sure there's a lot Overwatch League can do racially as well.
Indeed.
And again, this isn't, I want to make sure this is very clear. This isn't about like ticking boxes or things like that.
Tokenism is never the answer.
Bingo. This is about, you have to ask yourself, why aren't more women getting involved in sports, or why aren't these other, you know, this more global community getting more involved with it? You have to answer those questions. And then once you answer those questions, which I kind of think SSJ gave you a big hint there earlier when he was talking about how, you know, women that play Overwatch tend to get treated like shit type of thing. Once you can kind of get that, then the rest of that's going to fall into place.
You know what we should do? We need an all-female league.
I don't think that's the answer.
Hear me out.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead.
Where, you know, and by female, I am being trans-inclusive.
Sure.
If you identify as a woman, this is for you, and have all male voices silenced in it. Just for like a year. And watch them perform well, and watch them do great. And I think that right, and then make the offer, shall we combine?
There was a pretty good piece out there that was kind of against the idea of the separate female league, and I kind of tend to agree with it, because this is just something where it just needs to happen, where it's all in one, and computer games should not be limited by, you know, gender one way or the other. I mean, that's just I get what you're saying, Jamie, from a whole like make them feel what we feel type of standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair to Overwatch League, I haven't put this out there yet, and I really should. I do notice there's women on the stage supporting. I think they have women commentators. I didn't hear one in what
That's
I was doing.
That's tokenism.
Okay.
That's just a token effort. It's to appease people. You know, there's... All right, and this is a slight sidetrack, but it has to do with this.
Sure.
There's a book that I'm reading right now called Man-Made Language, mm-hmm. by an Australian scholar named Dale Spender. She's intelligent. It's a college thesis is what it reads like. But she goes into, during the suffrage movement, how the women had a big conference, and men were invited, but the moment a man tried to say something, he was silenced. He was not allowed to have a platform in a women-dominated area. And that right there, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of spitefulness, but I would love for these guys to have to know what it's like. You know? To have...
Sorry, somebody kept their Google open. Sorry, guys.
To have people who are used to getting their words heard and their deeds acknowledged in a position of total silence. That's because that's honestly enough what a lot of being a woman is like in modern society, even with our advancements. And so that was where I'm coming from with having something that is all matriarchal. Have something that a man has no part of. And, you know, let them see what it's like to be disincluded and to not have their voice heard, and to also have their asses handed to them by a bunch of girls. Just saying.
So anyway, this is a very complex issue that I don't think we're going to be able to solve tonight here on OLR. But I just want to reiterate, I'm not rooting against the Overwatch League. I'm not saying kill it with fire or any of this stuff. I'm just expressing disappointment because I was hoping if anyone was going to be able to do better, it was going to be Blizzard. And, you know, this is a problem that doesn't just affect Overwatch. This is a problem throughout esports. I was just hoping that maybe this time we would do it differently. And you know what? There's still time. But in order to get there, guys, no more excuses. That's all I'm saying.
Honestly,
like
just...
Tim Gunn, my other gospel says, make it work. All right.
By the way, that book I'm reading
mm-hmm.
is amazing. It really is amazing.
Sounds like a fucked up episode of Black Mirror that I'd be really into.
Well,
although that's more technology, to be
fair. It's definitely page of text mm-hmm. kind of book, mm-hmm. but it really does point out just how much of our everyday language has been co-opted to be more positive toward men and less positive toward women,
mm-hmm.
and how that just even as a fabric of humanity mm-hmm. makes its way into every facet, and I would say even included in games.
Yeah,
you know,
and I I'm not saying you have to like fire all these dudes to replace
not fire
them
him.
With maybe the one if he doesn't shape up, but I'm not saying you have to like fire all these dudes to make room for women. If the Overwatch League is to be successful, maybe they're going to grow into 20 teams. That would be great. But just make sure you're, you know, doing a little more inclusiveness on these
we need
new
team,
expansion teams. That'd be great.
We need estrogen.
Yeah. That's usually when most people are asking for inclusiveness and so forth. It's not necessarily about taking away from what's already there, but like adding to it. So anyway.
I want Team Unicorn Fart.
What city would they be from?
Team Unicorn Fart should be a bunch of... It should be made half of gay men and their hags.
I believe the preferred term now is flame dame.
I'm still a hag, girl. Right.
That's fine. You can...
And so instead of hearing, you know, over the PA, you know, oh, go suck a dick or whatever, you'll hear, Goldo! That's what I want. That'd be my team.
Awesome. All right. Let's take a trip back down memory lane. Let's go back to...
I'd rather not. Times. This is terrible.
All right. Well, every week, Dark Soccer climbs to the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should check this game out this week. But, plot twist, in 2017, once a month, we brought you the classic system of the month. And as promised, in 2018, we're going to bring you the classic peripheral of the month. So once a month, Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a gaming peripheral that is worthy of your attention. Or
I'd like people
not.
To guess what I picked.
Well, since we don't get music, you see, usually we play music from the game.
I tried to find you a commercial.
I do have a commercial. So let's cut to commercial for this week's classic peripheral of the month.
You farce.
It's so terrible.
It's a little quiet, too.
You force. You.
So 80s, too.
I know. I love that. This is my jam, this song here.
Well, it's the U-Force.
Yes.
So it's a game controller that was made by Broderbund. You know, they also
published The Guardian Legend, which was their biggest contribution to gaming.
Yes. Yes. And didn't they also publish Maniac Mansion?
I don't remember, but I also remember Broderbund was the people that put out the print shop.
That's right.
On Apple and Commodore. That was their other big... Oh, Lode Runner was the other big one. That
yeah.
You worked at, so yeah.
But they brought out the U-Force for the NES, which was basically... had a couple of IR sensor panels to translate your movements into controller signals. And... I'll just read a little bit from their print blurb. It's like, introducing U-Force, the revolutionary controller for your Nintendo Entertainment System. So hot, no one can touch it. Skip, 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 skip. There's nothing to hold, nothing to jump on, nothing to wear. Oh, baby. U-Force creates a power field that responds to your every command, making you the controller. Skip, skip, skip. Now nothing comes between you and the game. Well, it was shit. You could have like a little, like pilot yoke that would go in the middle of it, but it was really on the level of bad that the power glove was bad. It didn't control anything very well. It was a neat concept, but you know, IR technology today is, you know, a bunch better than how it was then. And we kind of have that now with, you know, more modern peripherals. But, you know, I'd say it was pretty ambitious for what it was back in the day. But if I am right, IGN ranked it as like one of the worst, like number 8 of the top 10 worst peripherals. It was pretty bad. I think that it was only like... second to the Sega Activator, which I have an Activator, and it was pretty bad. This one quote that's great comes from a writer for MSN that says, "Don't touch," said the adverts for the device, in a rare example of advertising campaign that got it spot on. So yeah, the U-Force, it was pretty terabad. So that's your, I'm starting off with one sucky peripheral. Maybe next month I'll do one that didn't suck less. Or I'll just go for ultra suck and do the Activator. Who knows?
You know, it was still an important peripheral. I think a lot of us remember it from being younger and not always for the best reason. I think it was one of those things where it sure looked a lot better in the ads than it actually performed.
It looked neat.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have too many of the third party peripherals back from my Nintendo. I'll tell you what I did have. No, actually, it wasn't even third party, I think. I had the NES Max that had the little switch over that so you could hold the buttons down. That thing was cool.
All right, there it is, your classic peripheral of the month, the U-Force. You know, classic
That word can be taken many ways. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including your emails, question mark. I think we have some emails. We'll also talk about, ooh, PlayStation figures. Is this the answer to Amiibo? Or maybe not so much. We'll talk about that when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight. Episode number 715 already in progress for this January the 21st of 2018. We've had a really great show so far. We've kind of covered a lot of bases and what's going on in the gaming world. And we got to talk to Mel B about DDR and Freestyle earlier in the show. So I hope you all got to catch that interview. But if not, there's always the podcast, because not only is it a live show, it's a podcast. And I know many of you listen to it that way. So thanks.
I think we just had an OLR first.
What's that?
Where we had Mormons come to witness to us the show.
Yeah, right. They picked a good time to come by, I guess, right at the halfway point of the show. But yeah, we were just, OLR Studios was just visited. We should have brought him in and had him on the show. What kind of video games do you guys play? They were looking for somebody. Now, Alan and I have lived in this house for almost 4 years. I think it's coming up on 4 years in April. And they were looking for the person, I'm assuming lived here before us, because we were getting mail for them for a long time. So, yeah.
Why does this cow want to eat fish? Do cows eat fish?
Oh, is this Animal Crossing?
Yes.
Oh, good Lord. All right. We need to get into some rapid-fire news, though. But big hello again to those of you in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. And are we having to compete against any TV? Do you know what that Google message was I got? Do you remember my Google went off? I think it was while Jamie was saying something earlier. It was Shane messaging me, OMG Star Trek. So I guess something must have happened on that tonight.
Tell Shane OMG he needs to get that thing from my house.
All right.
Shane, do you hear me?
I don't think he listens to this show. He's too busy watching Star Trek.
You better be listening and come get that thing from my house.
All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase house.
Let's get into some rapid-fire news. Come get the news from y'all. Oh, Bobby Blackwell says the Screen Actors Guild's awards are tonight.
What? Yeah, who cares?
There's so many fucking award shows. Like, just, God, every Sunday there's some damn award. Anyway.
At any rate, I finally watched the Castlevania series on Netflix. Did you watch it, Rob?
I never did. It's
Girl!
I know.
It's good. It's really freaking good. Well, thankfully, a lot of other people agreed that it was really freaking good, because now it's been picked up for another 8 episodes to come out this summer. And Warren Ellis, of course, is going to be our writer extraordinaire. So that makes me super happy, because Castlevania was really fucking good. And then other news, too, is that there is apparently going to be another Master System game released. We've got the... I know that some of the games have been, re-released, like Wonder Boy and Monster Land. But there's a game called Silver Valley that's to be coming out for the Master System, which actually, as I understand it, I think the Master System is still very big in Brazil, so who knows? But it looks...
And it's still big in our hearts. That's the other important thing.
It looks kind of Castlevania-ish. It's very Castlevania-ish. The same platforming and traps and, skeletons and whatnot all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, not bad.
And some folks in chat over at live.vognetwork.com yelling at me for not having watched Castlevania yet. Bobby Blackwolf says, it's less than 2 hours. Even I watched Castlevania. SJ100 Matt says, it's good. Only downside is it's far too short. Rockcat says, Castlevania was good on Netflix. I just need to take the time to watch. I don't watch movies anymore either, it seems. But I do watch Star Trek.
I don't really... Well, my thing right now is watching everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
Except I did start a Japanese drama that came out in 2014 called Masan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a Japanese man who goes to Scotland to study how to make whiskey. And, they've only been dethroned a few years ago, but Japanese whiskey makers scored top in the world.
Mm.
And so, but he brings back his Scottish wife in, 1930s Japan.
Right.
And so it's about their relationship and, you know, his goal to make whiskey in Japan, but that's like big history nerd thing took off. But I want them to, I want to do a drama just about gamers. They did a drama about Gyaru. Why can't they do one about gamers?
Lord knows there's lots of drama in the gaming community.
Right.
All right, anyway, and more news. I have a couple things on Final Fantasy, including, and this is one of those websites where, for whatever reason, it doesn't load right on my computer, but I think I remember the details of this. Final Fantasy 15, the Royal Edition, was confirmed. It's going to be coming out on March 6th. I think we talked about this as a rumor last week. Well, it turns out that it is happening, and there's going to be a Windows Edition that happens with it as well, so you get to get Final Fantasy 15 for the first time on PC. Not only does it come with all the existing DLC, but they're adding even more to it. I know they were talking about a new dungeon was in it as well, so some people are getting a little irritated that like they won't stop adding to Final Fantasy 15, especially for a story that's a little more narrative than something like an MMO, which leads me to Final Fantasy 14. Final Fantasy 14 is getting a patch coming out, and it's patch 4.2 for Stormblood, The Rise of a New Sun. It's coming out on January 30th, and perhaps what's most interesting about Rise of a New Sun is that the new raid dungeon, Omega Sigmascape, will feature feature bosses from Final Fantasy VI. In fact, in the trailer, good old Doom Train makes an appearance there. And so it looks like the first fight you'll be doing is against the Doom Train or the Phantom Train. So
can you suplex
cool.
it?
I hope so. But no word if you get to suplex the train or not. But at the very, very, very end of the trailer, there's a shot of Kefka. So it's assumed that, yeah, with that a laugh even. So it's assumed that you will actually fight Kefka at the end of this. So it's pretty cool. I did the last raid because Omega Deltascape was kind of out. I think it was out with the expansion. Or it was 4.1. I don't remember. But in that one, you fought a bunch of Final Fantasy V bosses. And so that was pretty cool. But, you know, since 5 wasn't released here in the U.S. originally, I don't remember it as well as I remember 4 and 6. So I'm thinking we're getting the 6 bosses here, and maybe we're going to get Final Fantasy 4 bosses in the last raid or something. We'll see.
By the way, just from chat, ActDeft did bring up that that we should watch The Shape of Water, which I did see.
I was going to say, you did see that, didn't you?
I did see that. Mm-hmm. And honestly enough, if it's playing now over at Arden Fair Mall, I want to take you to see that.
Is that good, huh?
It's that good, and I think that there's one of the characters in it that I think that you would just find completely heartbreaking and adore him.
There's so many movies. I still need to see Lady Bird, which everyone
I need
in
to
this
see Lady Bird as well.
Everyone in this town's talking about, and I never saw Get Out. I'm thinking of the movies that are going to get nominated for Oscars this year, and I never did see Get Out. I just didn't get around to it.
I picked it up on Blu-ray. If you want to come watch it at my house.
Oh, okay, that'd be fun.
I went to see it at the reclining theaters. It was seriously next to Star Wars, the best movie I had seen.
I still haven't seen Star Wars. The last movie I saw in theaters was the Power Ranger movie. Was that even this year or 2017?
I saw the Shape of Water this year because I went to see it right after my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, it was this year. But I cried halfway through the movie. I cried at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of ugly. My mascara is a little.
I ugly cry at movies a lot, too.
My mascara is a little too expensive to go see movies like that. So, but I think that you and I should see it before I go back to work. I'm that serious about it. I will pay for you to see it.
Well, shucks. Who am I to say no to free?
So we'll work it out.
All right. Well, for now, we got to travel around the world and check out some release dates. And Loki's not here, but I will do my best to make up for.
Oh, I thought I was going to do it because I'd already pulled it up.
Oh, then go ahead.
Unless
go
you
ahead.
Want me to do the Japanese ones.
Does it? Let's try that. Why don't you do the Japanese one?
Okay,
if it
then
loads
you
for
go
you.
Ahead and do the American ones, and I'll get it to load.
The Japanese list can be a little funky. You have to jump from system to system. It's not all in one place. All right. So I will start with the U.S. ones, and it's reverse night here at OLR. Coming out on the 23rd is Iconoclast for Windows, Mac, PS4, and PS Vita. Who knew the PS Vita was still getting releases here? The Inpatient is a PSVR game that you'll see on the 23rd. Lost Sphere, I think I know some people looking forward to that. That's on Windows and the Nintendo Switch, as well as PlayStation 4. And Subnautica for Windows and Mac. A little later, kind of off the regular release, 23rd, we have on the 25th, Celeste on Windows, Switch, and PlayStation 4. We have Dragon Ball FighterZ, or Fighters,
coming out for Windows, PS4, and Xbox One. That is on the 26th. And lastly, Monster Hunter World on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. So Jamie's going to give the Japanese releases a go. I'm excited to hear this.
I have found an alternate list, but it's not listing the exact dates on it. So let's go back over here.
Okay.
All right. So you just pick a system and read what's on it.
Well,
right?
Sort of. You have to be careful because it mixes in stuff from other countries. So the first one is that Nanatsu, if you see that.
Yeah, Nanatsu no Taizai, Britannia no Tabibito, and that is coming out on PlayStation 4. We have Fighting Edge Blade for PS4 and PC. Ninki Seiyu no Tsukurikata on PS4, and there's limited edition coming out. And we have Axiom Verge Multiverse Edition. Oh, that's Monster Hunter World, Dragon Ball Fighter Z. On the 26th, we also have, let me scooch on down a bit.
That's, I think that's it for that system.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How am I doing, Rob?
So far, so good. You just have to be with it. Reading this list is a
little
messy.
We also have the, PlayStation 4 Monster Hunter World Starter Pack in Glacier White and Jet Black.
Nice.
So voila. So on Vita, because people still love the Vita there. We have Ninki Seiyu no Tsukurikata, the same one. We have a Nekomimi multi-gaming headset. You know what the Nekomimi is, right?
Mm-mm.
It's the cat ears that move,
oh.
You know, based on how your emotions are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We also have, it doesn't have a date on it, but it says an epic, so whatever that is. And let's go, there's stuff for PS3. Nope. I just find it hilarious that list is on here. Xbox One, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and that's it because they don't like the Xbox in Japan. And Monster Hunter World. Let's see what we've got for Switch. Voez on the 25th. We have the multi-gaming headset coming out later on this month, so not too much. And then let me see what we have on 3DS. On 3DS, the new Nintendo 2DS XL Pikachu edition in Australia, and Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology, also European. So yeah, not too much, really. So kind of slow.
All right.
And let me do Europe, too, because I will.
Might as well. I wasn't ready for that.
All right. Well, it's kind of fun to switch it up, right?
Yeah.
On the, what's today? The 21st. Okay, on the 23rd, we have Iconoclasts. Wait, that's U.S. What am I doing? Because I had it up, too. Stupid. I'm all confused, Rob. Okay, on the 26th.
Juggling three regions is hard.
Yeah. On the 26th, we have Dragon Ball FighterZ on PC, PS4, and Xbone. That's it.
All right. Well, as if that wasn't enough, it's time to jump into the mailbag. I think
which is empty.
Is it empty tonight?
It was spam.
Oh, I thought we actually had one tonight. All right.
Well, there was only spam in there. I looked at them both.
All right. Well, you need to get the spammers out of here, people. Help us out. You can send us emails, participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to participate along with the show. Get on it. All right. In the meantime, let's get back to some other news. And then we'll be taking your phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype in just a little while. But first.
Of course. PlayStation is doing their own answer. Well, Sony is doing their own answer to Amiibo, but they're not like Amiibo. They're just collectible figures. It's called, it's called Totaku. And some of the figures, there's only one of these that I actually want. I want the Parappa because I even had Parappa Happy Meal toys from Japan. So, except someone stole it out of my damn car, asshole. But anyway, they are doing Bloodborne's Hunter, Crash Bandicoot, Parappa the Rapper, Kratos from God of War, the Phasar FX350 Racing Ship from Wipeout. Okay, that one might be worth it. Sackboy from Little Big Planet and Heihachi from Tekken. They'll all be $9.99. I mean, I might want a Heihachi I'd put him on my cubicle wall and just have him stare at my neighbor Kelby. He'd probably find that hilarious, though.
Yeah, you know, some people are looking at these and going, oh, is this Sony's answer to Amiibo? But no, they're not. They're not going to have little chips in them. They don't interact with the games.
The Heihachi figure looks pretty cool.
They're just figures. That's all they are.
I want a Yoshimitsu, though. They should do a Yoshimitsu.
Well, if these do well, they'll probably do a series, too.
I'm going to get Parappa.
You know why there's figures coming out? It's not just Amiibo. It's those pop vinyls, my favorite, I always talk about here on this show. Pop vinyls are everywhere.
How disturbing is the shirtless, reclining Jeff Goldblum?
Oh, yeah, that was funny. I like that.
That is frightening. I've never found him attractive.
I'm one of those things where I'm like, God, those pop vinyl things are everywhere. But yet, I still really want the Trixie Mattel and the Alaska and the RuPaul, the Drag Race series they just put out.
Did you know that there are other of those cardboard toys that are already out on the market?
Labo or?
Kind of like Labo, but they're more for STEM.
Oh.
There's one called Makey Makey. Little Bits Droid Inventor Kit, Bloxels, Unki Overdrive, just listing some of them. And this one does use kind of wood and circuit boards called Piper and Kano.
But do any of them interface with games? That's going to be
There's
what separates.
Robot making ones. So, I mean, pretty cool stuff.
I still think Labo's going to kind of be in a category of its own, you know?
Because it's Nintendo.
Of course. Of course. Absolutely. All right. So you might get some of those Tataku figures.
I might too.
We'll see.
I want Parappa, really, because I like Parappa.
So we know that one of the big, big games out there in the world, we don't talk about it a lot here on OLR because I just don't think any of us really play it, but I know a lot of people do, and that's the FIFA series. And specifically, this story is about FIFA 18. You would expect that this game has sold a lot on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And of course it has, at least here in the States. But in Japan, interesting, because some numbers have just come out about the sales of FIFA 18, and it turns out the PlayStation 4 version of FIFA sold 77,000 copies, about, I'm rounding here. The Switch version sold 89,000 copies. So in Japan, the Nintendo Switch version of FIFA 18 did better than the PlayStation 4 version. You know, so is this going to make EA pay a little more attention to the Switch? We'll see. I bet those sales numbers still, I think they probably get a lot bigger here in the States, and especially, maybe not so much the States, but especially Europe. I'm sure those numbers look a lot different, but still, you can't help but notice it's selling on the Switch more than it is on the PlayStation 4, at least in Japan. So
yeah.
It's, I guess, a testament to how popular the Nintendo Switch is right now.
True that.
Dungeon Buster points out a really good fact about this. The Switch is also mobile, and Japan has a huge mobile market. Oh, heck yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people even here that are like, I might pick that up on the Switch because that would be good to have that on the go as well as on the TV. Heck, I'm still waiting for that Mega Man collection. The Mega Man one will be cool too, and I know that's coming, but the Disney cartoon collection, I'm still waiting for that on Switch. I haven't bought it yet, so I want it where I can take it on the go and have it on the TV. I want it all. Dark Soccer, what do you have?
I want the world. I want the whole world. Super Mario Odyssey has got new outfits coming out because part of the fun is dressing up Mario.
Hooray.
There are going to be more outfits. There's going to be more snapshot mode filters that come through. So this should be some pretty cute fun stuff if you like dressing up Mario like a cutie patootie or in a wedding dress. That's really it. There's nothing more exciting about that.
I'm glad they're still continuing to kind of develop stuff for Super Mario Odyssey. I'm kind of surprised we don't have new worlds yet, but we'll see. That's probably coming at some point, right? Well,
at some point.
Also for the Switch, Skyrim. You know, that game's been around forever, and it finally made its debut on the Switch late last year. And it turns out, you know, most people figured it was probably just a quick little port of Skyrim over to the Switch, but it turns out some of those infamous bugs in Skyrim were actually fixed on the Nintendo Switch, and not through mods or anything like that, because the Switch version doesn't support mods. But one example that's being cited is that when you approach Brynjolf in the town of Riften about a business opportunity, this is how you join the Thieves Guild. You steal a ring and you plant it on a merchant, Bran Shi, who gets arrested. Now, Brynjolf says that Bran Shi will only be in jail for a few days, but in the other versions of the game, this character ends up being imprisoned for the rest of the game. So what you have to do, you have to drop the ring, and then he can join the guild. But apparently in the Nintendo Switch version, you don't have to do that. Branchy does get released a few days into the game. So that got fixed. And some people are just now finding out about that because obviously Skyrim has a million things you can do in it. And some people are just getting around to that. So it's kind of interesting that some of the bugs in the Switch version of the game were actually fixed. So is the Switch version of the game the definitive version? Well, it's hard to say. I guess it would depend on what's important to you, because if mods are important to you, well, you might want to stick with the PC version, or at least maybe one of the other ones. But if HD graphics and the most HD-est, if that's a term.
It's HD-er.
Then maybe the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One versions or PC are going to really be up your alley. So,
I don't know. I still think that Skyrim just begs for modding, you know?
Oh, yeah. I love Skyrim, but I am, and I'm glad it got a Switch release. I know there's people that are excited to have that mobile, but I really am ready for what's next with Elder Scrolls, guys.
I want the new job, Skyrim job. The new version.
let's get to the next thing in the Elder Scrolls universe. Well, it's time.
This is sad.
It's time.
Yeah, sad faceness.
Sorry to give you sad news here towards the end.
Well, and he's actually, I mean, an artist that I've looked up to. Bob Wakelin died, and he did the covers for a lot of NES games, including Contra, which is iconic, Rainbow Islands, New Zealand Story. New Zealand Story is such a fun little game, too. Mr. Nuts on SNES, a whole bunch of others. But he also did a lot of artwork for the Spectrum, Commodore 64, Atari ST, and Amiga. And it got him a lot of fame in Europe. And he did a lot of the European covers for Midnight Resistance, Batman, Whizball, Head Over Heels, and Hunchback. Just his work, I mean, really covered a lot of our childhoods. Like, I mean, he did Rastan. He did... and his artwork was so versatile because he could do realistic, and then he could do cartoony or parody style artwork, and it was just absolutely amazing. He could do games that clearly needed to be cutesy and a bit more, I'd say, Japanese in appearance. He could do them well, and I am just completely saddened and floored because he seriously was one of the people that inspired me to get into art. So may your memory be a blessing.
Well, not all the news is good, but definitely take a moment to reflect on what he's given, you know, the gaming community through these iconic artworks, advertising
like,
games.
Even his
years.
Fantasy art and realistic style, I put him up there with like Julie Bell and Boris Vallejo. Really amazing work.
Well, lastly here, before we get to the phones, and wow, I didn't realize the second half of the show was going to fly by compared to the first half, but I also thought we had at least one email. Well, hopefully we'll get some calls here at Orange Lounge Radio in just a moment, but I have one more thing for you before we get to the phones, and that has to do with something that's been announced. It is a Kickstarter project, so, you know, I always kind of take these with a grain of salt, but it does sound pretty cool. It's something called NES Maker. Now, this sounds really similar to something we had a couple of weeks ago where it was like you were taking all these NES game things. It was kind of like a hodgepodge Mario Maker, but I think that was a little different. NES Maker is actually a program that they're developing that's available on Kickstarter where you can actually do sprite graphics and color palettes that are constrained by NES limitations. You create assets to go with the NES, and it's all object-oriented, like Game Maker or Unity. You can use a text editor to do strings for NPCs. You create special screens like start screens, customize the AI, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, this is going to allow you to create your own NES game without having to learn the actual complicated programming that goes with it. Might be a very good entryway for some people that are kind of like, oh, I want to create a game. This might be something that would help people do that. So pretty cool.
I like, though, a lot of the Maker programs. I tried to learn my way through RPG Maker for a while. I still want to do something in RPG. I want to do, like, the OLR adventure.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kaijudo in chat says, Nintendo going to shut that shit down. You know, I'm not sure they can. I mean, NES Maker is about, but does Nintendo have NES itself trademarked, or do they have Nintendo Entertainment System trademarked? Because I just don't think, I mean, because they're not using Mario to sell it, they're not using Zelda, so they're not infringing on those sorts of iconic characters to do this. They're just saying, hey, you can make games that look like they're from the Nintendo era. So I'm not sure Nintendo would have much of a case here, or if they'd want one, to be honest.
Now, the thing that has me curious is if something like this would put out like a NES ROM so that I could play it on like an EverDrive or something.
Oh, now, okay. So Bobby Blackwolf says you can actually compile them to a NES ROM. Like, you're okay. So he's saying that this is something I'm missing. Ah, well, that may be a little trickier with that. But
and then I wonder if it can be compiled into a NES ROM, then can you use it as a ROM editor?
Well, here's the thing. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how far down this hole I want to go, but technically, emulators are to play homegrown ROMs. You're not supposed to play the actual Super Mario Brothers and stuff. So is there really a legal problem if you make this NES ROM that isn't Mario or Zelda, something of your own creation, and you play it in an emulator?
Well,
is that wrong?
I don't think Nintendo's done anything to shut down the Kaizo Mario games either.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of the Kaizo-type games run at Games Done Quick.
And Bobby Blackwolf says Nintendo doesn't shut down homebrew. All this program does is let you create homebrew without learning assembly language. And yeah, in my mind kind of goes to, well, remember when they fought Tengen and Color Dreams and those other companies that weren't really officially Nintendo licensed that but reverse engineered the cartridge? They lost that case.
At the time, too, Nintendo was making money on the system.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, they're not really making anything on the Nintendo now. You know, so they had a lot more to lose by not having, I would say, almost a monopoly on that cartridge format or making the games. You know, they were wanting to filter everything through their control. And now that the NES is no longer, you know, a profitable system, other than, you know, of course, the NES Classic and stuff like that, that there's not really too much that I think they should be super worried about it. It would just be the use of IPs that are still something that's bringing in money.
I think as long as the games that come out of this are not trying to infringe on the stuff that I'm assuming at some point Nintendo will want to sell on a Switch virtual console, you know, be it balloon fight, multiplayer across the internet or whatever it is. I just don't think, I don't see any problems as long as some of those intellectual things don't get infringed on.
I think of something better than balloon fight.
Well, but I wasn't that in one of the early commercials or something there's a screenshot or something. Like, we know that one's coming. And plus, it could also be the whole Iwata tie-in. That could be why they chose that particular game, you know, so who knows?
Possibly.
Yeah. Anyway.
Speaking of games and names, I want them to do the Yokoi collection. Just like a super cartridge of all of like the games that were designed or influenced by Gunpei Yokoi.
Why do that when you can sell them for $5 a piece on the Switch?
Yeah.
I know, that's the reality.
Wishful thinking.
All right, the Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call. And we can talk about anything we've discussed so far tonight or something else. Maybe you have something else. Maybe you want to preview your freestyle routine that's coming up this Saturday. I don't know how to do that with audio only. You could tell us, you could tell us what song. Confirm if you're doing Ariana Grande or something else from DDR Ace. Again, that's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I'd usually go around and ask if we have any last minute stories, although I'm not sure you do, right, Jamie? I think we covered most of the stuff, right?
Nah, I have a story. This what? Alligator guy in my game is a bitch.
I don't think that has anything to do with games, but we do have
the phones. A game.
Oh, the alligator in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we do have the phone lighting up. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
What's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. What's on your mind, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Well, besides the fact that my tea is overflowing from the stuff that I missed on Facebook, because I went to the movies.
Spill it.
Earlier, I'm just like, damn.
Facebook drama?
It's within the cosplay community and other things.
Spill
and
the
it's
tea.
Just like, Jesus Christ. My teacup, it runneth over.
Nah, just... Honestly, just log out. Like, that's kind of the point where I'm at with Facebook. Facebook is sharing important life updates and pictures of Mr. Smush, and that's about it. I don't need Facebook for anything else right now.
But some of the stuff that's going on, I do keep an ear to, because it does affect the cosplay community as a whole. So I need to know what's going on with that so I can have my investigative reporters kind of follow the paper trail. So.
Yeah, I guess you do have to be connected for your show.
Like, well, if you haven't seen our article about Anime Matsuri, yeah. That's
oh, that. That bullshit.
Ook-chan. I've gotten a lot of anonymous posts in my inbox in regards to what was going on. I sent it to Koi, and she dropped her tea when I sent her those screenshots. So, yeah.
I saw. That is some fetid stuff.
Yeah, it's basically why I decided not to go back this year.
Yeah. I'm glad I never went.
Well, I only went last year just for Sarah Mead. That's it. I understood what was going on, but I knew that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so I'm going to take a stab at it. They're supposed to have, like, another big announcement. I have a theory of what it is, and if my theory is correct, it's still not enough for me to go.
Well, I think that we should not keep people who are in suspense in the dark. So why don't you spill a little bit of that?
Well, my theory is they made this post and it said Sailor Moon Anime Matsuri 2018. My theory is they're either going to get the entire English dub cast or the current Japanese cast for Sailor Moon Crystal. That's my theory.
Well, if you got enough money, you can get almost whatever you want at your convention.
I'd be surprised AX isn't pulling something like that instead, because they've got the bigger crowd share.
Yeah. I believe that.
Well, now, Rama, did you just want to talk about conventions, or is there something else on your mind tonight?
No, Rama. I just want to thank you again for making me feel like a nerdy 12-year-old, and I mean that in a positive way.
Why is that? What did I say that got you feeling like a nerdy 12-year-old?
Talking about Nintendo Labo and the Science Fair kits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those kits I was talking about from, like, Radio Shack with the springs and the wires and all that?
Yes. I was bouncing off the walls when you mentioned that, because I could have sworn I called in and spoke about this before. But every summer, when I would finish school, I would go to Radio Shack and buy one of the kits, and I would play with this kit for the entire summer. And yes, I did the whole little FM radio thing too. I thought that was one of the coolest things ever.
Isn't it? Yeah, those things are rad. Like, I learned a lot about science and things from kits like that. So, you know, Labo is in some ways a different form of that. Well, I'm sure those kits still have to exist in some form or another, but I'm sure a lot of it now is like iPads and shit.
No. I kind of think that the Science Fair kits kind of evolved into those little robotic Raspberry Pi kits you see at Micro Center.
Oh, shit. Yeah, probably.
I think that's what it's become, you know. And I missed the presentation about this, but I caught up to it. And I'm like, cardboard. That's kind of cool. And what bothered me is that there were people complaining about this, saying this is a kid's thing, this is that. And I'm like, Nintendo did say this is for kids.
Yeah, Nintendo
said upfront.
If you are
an adult complaining about something for children that the company said is for children, you need to reprioritize your life.
Yeah. Nintendo has more than one team that does stuff. And, you know, the Wii U had a real problem getting in everybody's home. If this Labo thing is going to help the Switch get in more homes, including homes with kids, that's going to benefit everybody in the long run, because then Nintendo will have more money to develop other stuff like Smash or Metroid Prime 4 or the rumored other new 2D Metroid, which we skipped over tonight but was in the news, and all this other stuff. So, you know, it's fine. It's like we said earlier about inclusiveness. You can include stuff with adding to it.
Yeah.
Exactly. But my also thing is, if this is successful enough, and we see, like, these little science fair robotic kits, somebody is going to come up with something to tether it to the Switch. I mean, buying, like, one of these little robot kits, you load the Switch software, use the Joy-Cons to control it and stuff like that. Is it Rock'em Sock'em Robots? There's your money maker right there. By the way, I copyright that idea. I get 15% off the top and 5% goes to OLR.
Except the problem is you don't own the patent on Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
own the idea of putting it on the Switch. Ah.
Good luck. I hope you have a good lawyer.
Yes, I do. It's called Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. I got a good reference from Bobby Blackwolf.
Love it. So are you personally going to pick up Labo, or is this is better for the kids?
This is better for the kids, but you know what? I kind of see myself getting a Switch before the year is out. And I'm just like, they couldn't get me with the Wii. They couldn't get me with the Wii U. And now they're bringing the games I wanted for Wii U to the Switch. I'm like, here, Nintendo, just take the credit card. I don't want – just take it. Give me my stuff and just give me the bill.
I predict you will also have a moment of weakness before the year's over.
Probably.
Probably. All right, Rama, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in some more calls. But it's always good to hear from you. And people should also be listening to Anime Jam Session to hear more of you.
Oh, definitely. And it's also good to hear from all of y'all, especially Ookchan and Loki.
Well, Loki's not here tonight, so you haven't heard much from him.
Well, you know.
It's always a pleasure to hear from me.
It's all good. I'll let Loki
Sorry, not sorry.
All right.
Stay fabulous, Rob.
All right. You too. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Orange Lounge. Sorry, I have coughs.
Orange Lounge Hakio.
I need water. It's your turn to fill time, Dark Saga.
Well, I could give you the saga of what's happening in my Animal Crossing village. Everyone sucks, and they're sending me on nothing but fetch quests. The end. No, seriously, though. I mean, I did plan, by the way, on starting to stream. I was going to do Halo. I cannot find one that runs on PC, you know? So
we set up a time to do it. Over here on my Xbox One version of the Anniversary Collection, which is close enough. Close enough.
Oh, we my God. People. Did you know that Koi sell for 4,000 bells?
No. We have calls coming in.
Oh, good.
All right. Hi, you're on... Oh, I thought I grabbed that call, and it dropped right off. So we'll see if that person
Maybe
calls
it didn't
right
appreciate
back.
Being grabbed.
Maybe. I hit the button, and then it freaked out.
Did so you ask permission, Rob?
If you were calling, try to get back in.
In playing WoW again, I don't know if I ever told you about the webcomic that that Sidekick and I came up with.
About Animal Crossing?
No. In WoW.
Oh, in WoW. Sorry.
It was called Hillsbred Blues.
Oh, yeah. You did mention this.
I'm thinking that we might make this a happening again.
Yeah, you gotta work on that. But I did get the call back on the line. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdef.
Hey, Akdef. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, the topic about the Overwatch League and all that stuff. Yeah. I want to continue more on that. But first of all, I do agree with you. And there's need to be more representation from other people. And not necessarily just like only people from other genders and that stuff. People from other countries because... Again, the league is overwhelmed with people from Korea, and that's obvious because they're really good in the game. But aside from that,
it's a good start.
But yeah, it's a good start and all that. But I want to talk about the old white women aren't in the league, probably.
Okay.
So yeah, I was saying and the league owners were saying too that the excuses like you said that they have to be in the same rooms and they have to be together tons of times and they cannot afford like people from the same team being like in dates having a relationship because in the performance wise it's gonna be distracting, so they cannot be like if like for example, even like if a relationship blooms from the league and all that stuff. If there's a breakup, there's gonna be like tons of things they need to like fix. So in that sense, I do agree with that. I know that sounds like an excuse.
Okay.
But in sports, the same things happen. Like for example, and this is something I relate to mostly because it's soccer. they don't have the players' spouses, their wives, like when they're gonna do a big game or something like that, because it can be distracting. And they're the wives. It's not like, oh, they're gonna be fighting or something, or there's not gonna be problems, but they can get distracted, and it's important for them to be on their top performance. And I can see the same thing happening with the Overwatch League. That not necessarily like, okay, they're going to be problems, but they're going to be distracted. That's the thing.
Here's my thought, ActDeft. Like, I respect your viewpoint and where you're coming from, and I understand that, you know, traditionally in other types of sports leagues, this is what's been done. But this is supposed to be, you know, something new, something, you know, esports, something kind of, you know, technology and for the new generation. And, you know, you can work together professionally without having those types of circumstances. For example, Dark Sakura, myself, and Loki, we all went to PAX together a few years ago, and we all slept in the same hotel room. And do you know how much sex was had? None. That's gross. These are my professional friends that I do this show with. It's not like that at all. So my point with that is that, you know, if these guys and hopefully girls at some point are going to get paid to do Overwatch, you know, then they have to remember they've got to put their Overwatch careers ahead of this other stuff. And if they get sucked into this other stuff, it could have an effect on their Overwatch careers. It just like when what's this guy's name, XQC or whatever his name is, mouthed off. You know, it may have been something on his own Twitch stream on his own time, but unfortunately what he did had an effect on the community, and that's why he had to get shut down and get, you know, slapped on the butt about it, because he has to be professional. So if you want to be a professional player, you have to act professional. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, okay, we're going to have boys and girls in this league, and it's expected that you act professional. If y'all want to date, okay. But at the end of the day, y'all better be able to act professional or you're out of here.
And that's the thing, too, because I do agree with that. They're professionals. They're getting paid. So they have to, like, act, to follow the rules and all that. But, again, I'm talking with Chad, and Matt is saying, I'm sorry, but I'm calling bullshit. And I agree. People should be controlling themselves. It's not only men, also the woman. It can be the both sides. Again, not necessarily like, oh, women have are to blame, because it's not the thing. But it can happen. So sorry about that. But
Jamie, why don't you get out? Jamie's dying to comment here. Go ahead.
Well, it's just okay. The whole thing about being distracted. It to me stinks of the whole thing with like girls' dress codes in school. Oh, we don't want them to distract the boys from learning.
Yeah, men can't control themselves. Yeah, I get what it feels like that.
If you treat a man like he can't control himself, he's going to expect to have you do the control for him. Mm-hmm. They need to be held, and even women too. We all need to be held accountable. If they pull this crap in any sport, really, and end up, you know, having a performance issue because of it, hold them the fuck accountable.
Mm-hmm. No matter who it is.
Treat them like a grown-up.
Yeah.
And something that I was commenting on too, there's reports of every Olympic event in any Olympic village of people having sex like on and off, like it's like an orgy basically. The people cleaning the villages find many stuff.
Yes, we'll just
there's like, people who just hand out condoms.
We'll let everybody fill in the gaps there. Yeah,
but again, I'm gonna take this back to performance, since they're doing other things other than mentally preparing for something really important. And in the case of like something the Overwatch League, the point I was trying to make, most of them are what around the 20-23 age, so they're really young. And I'm sorry about this, but they're still young.
They're still mentally children.
Stupid stuff.
They're probably, and like I referenced earlier, just because there isn't any women in the league doesn't mean they aren't already hooking up.
Well, and here's
statistically of 133 dudes.
That's true.
There is something a good point just to go into psychology in general.
Sure.
Women, they're, and I can vouch for this, you know, our minds aren't fully developed until somewhere between the age of 21 to 24. For men, it's actually 25 to 28.
Mm-hmm. But we have to be careful because we don't want that to be a pass either. Like for this
it's
guy.
Not a pass, but it is a biological fact.
Right.
That is something that should be borne in mind. And maybe, yes, there should be higher restrictions for that, but it still doesn't mean you can't have a co-ed team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I will give that. And it wasn't something that I thought of going into my points on that. Yes, there is much poor impulse control because, I mean, sorry, guys, y'all's brains aren't fully developed until you're almost 30.
Yeah, biological fact. We're pretty much dumb.
Well,
so, yeah.
We just hope they all make good choices. But, you know, again, and I'm probably going to hear from several people throughout this week, and I already was kind of getting in. I don't want to say getting into it on Twitter, because that makes it sound like it was a fight or something, but just, you know, some dialogue on Twitter this week about this whole thing. And, you know, but I'm going to stand my ground on this. This is something I want to see us do better at, but I realize it's not something that's going to change overnight. I realize we have to make the Overwatch community more welcoming to women, but I just want to reinforce, you know, I don't hate the Overwatch League or anything like that. It's quite the contrary. I want it to succeed, but I want it to succeed big. And I just think, you know, this is gonna hold it back from really truly being accessible to everybody. And once we can kind of solve some of these problems about how do we get our community less toxic, how do we welcome more people from other countries, how do we welcome more women into this league, I just kind of think it's going to be the same old thing. It's never going to get taken seriously like any other esport, no matter how pretty it is.
Yeah, I do hope for the Overwatch League because I haven't followed it, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do hope for the future of it that it does expand to that. So to have like co-ed teams for more people to be involved, because it is something really, like, really awesome. And I would like to support it more,
mm-hmm.
basically. But, yeah, it needs to grow. For a first year, it will do fine, but it does need to evolve. But not sorry.
That's all right.
I'm getting my tongue twisted here.
No worries.
But it needs to work towards it. So, yeah. I do agree with the point of, it needs to be like men and women on the same teams and all that stuff. And something that Dark Sakura said earlier, oh, you can make a women's league too. But no, I would actually like I'd rather have the both genders or any gender on the teams, like playing together, doing stuff together, because that was the thing before Overwatch. It's cooperative. It's teamwork. So
yeah.
You need to show that.
And I think the best thing we can do, you know, how do we fix that? Well, as fans of Overwatch, and this goes for anybody who wants to see Overwatch League succeed, or for anybody who's a fan of Overwatch or any esport. I mean, really, this argument can work for any esport, not just Overwatch League. If you want to see your league do better in these types of ways, that has to start with you. And that's where you have to help in calling out this toxic behavior when you see it, and this type of stuff when dude gets on his Twitch stream and says, you know, go suck a dick, you'd probably like it, and all that stuff. You know, we don't have to end that guy's life completely, but we have to call it out and say, dude, not cool. That's not representative of the community we're trying to build here. You need to go sit in the corner and work your own shit out.
You need to look at your life. Look at your choices.
Look at your life. Look at your choices. Or again, going back to my reality TV popes, I'll use an all-time classic that I cite oftentimes on this show because it is gospel. And that would be the book of Tyra. And that would be, learn something from this. And that's what I would say to XQC. Learn something from this. We're rooting for you. We're all rooting for you.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway.
Yeah, hopefully it comes to that.
But, you know, and here's the thing. And here's why I think Overwatch League, and again, why maybe I'm being a little harsher on it than I am, oh, I don't know, say Counter-Strike or League of Legends or these other things. I've been to BlizzCon, and I did that Horde House show, and I've seen the Blizzard community, and there's all sorts of diversity within that community. There's a ton of women that play WoW. We have a show on this network hosted by two very amazing women that play World of Warcraft overseas. And they, you know, and they bring lots of men and women onto their show to talk about, you know, what's going on in Warcraft. And they know their shit when it comes to lore and all that stuff. My point is, they've got a diverse community at Blizzard. Now it's time, you know, that's how they're, I think, enabled to maybe reflect that in their esports almost more than anybody else. You know, I hope that Overwatch League looks as amazing as the audience at BlizzCon very soon. So anyway, I'm going to close it on that, ActDef. But thanks for the call. Hey, I appreciate their perspective. Even when we don't see completely eye to eye, I think we have at least some common ground here.
Hey, thanks for letting my opinion be heard, because I know I'm the minority here, and I'm probably not right either. But that's the perspective I have from it. So
sorry
if I offended anyone. That wasn't my intention. So
it's fine.
Again, thanks for having me.
You know what? I give you props for saying, hey, I'm trying to kind of learn. You know, maybe I'm not in the right place, so I'm trying to learn. And I understand, like, if you're driving a big rig truck down the highway and you suddenly realize you're going the wrong way, you can't just flip a bitch in the middle of the highway and go the right way. You're going to have to plan your way to get off the freeway and turn around. My point is, it's not that change that I'm screaming about earlier on the show is not going to happen overnight, but I hope it happens, you know, eventually. So anyway, my friend, I will see you next time, okay?
See ya.
All right, bye-bye. I think that is a good call to end it on for tonight. So I'm sorry to those that didn't get through, but you can always email us, participate at, excuse me, orangeloungeradio.com. I think that coughing fit is a time to say we need to throw in the towel and be done for tonight. But great show. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mel B, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie, for being here, as she always is. Thank you to me for being here. Thank myself.
You live here.
Doing great.
Thank you to Mr. Smush and Alan.
Yes, thank you to Mr. Smush and Alan for being inspirational. Thank you to Loki for, you know, giving us some space tonight. No, I'm just kidding.
happy birthday.
We miss him. Yes, happy birthday, Danny. So,
Danny.
Yes.
Who's now a mature 4-year-old.
Well, probably more mature than some Overwatch players out there. Mm. Ah, cheap shot. I'm sorry. All right.
Sometimes you got to go for it.
Okay. Anyway, you know, one thing I didn't get out, and I want to make sure is clear, because I just don't want some of these things I've said to go back and haunt me a little later on. Over the time we've done this show, and I've you know, talked a lot about how OLR has been on the year for many years and all that stuff, you know, I think the things that have come out of my mouth I haven't always been proud of. And that's what makes listening to some of the older episodes harder to listen to. You know what I mean? Like, even I feel like I've kind of changed over the last 700 episodes and learned a lot. And that's because of many of you. Like, for example, there was a time and place, and has probably happened on this show, where I referred to something as leotarded, but with a different word. Okay? Y'all know what I'm referencing, right? And I think I've learned over the years that I probably shouldn't use that word. You know, there's just other things I could say instead of that. But again, like the big rig driving down the highway, I didn't change overnight. And I know sometimes that word still leaves our mouths. I think somebody said it on the show last week, and, you know, but all we can do is kind of call that out and say, maybe I'm going to do better next time. And I'm going to try not to use that same language. So I just kind of wanted to get that out there, because I'm sure if somebody really wanted to, they could go back to episode 54 or something and find some shitty thing that I said. And, you know, I'm trying to do better, too. I think we all are. Life is a learning adventure, is it not? I think so.
Well, sometimes it's a nightmare.
But you already know everything, right, Darsara?
Of course I do.
All right. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh, though. Mm-hmm. My tummy is a mess right now.
Well, feel better. But the good news is we're going to wrap it up. So we can close on shop for tonight. We'll be back next week. Jamie will be here. Loki will be back. We'll talk about whatever happens in the news over the next week. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, we ask, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But, you know, it's hard to air those voices when they're not here. But I noticed we have been growing a little bit in 2018, so it's been great to see faces, old and new, here at OLR. So help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on iTunes or Google Play, that stuff goes a long way towards discoverability, let me tell you. So yeah, tell a friend, leave a nice review. It really, really helps. Thank you so much, because we don't have a $1 million website behind us or anything like that. Just us.
You know what?
And now we don't have a YouTube channel anymore. Well, we do, but we're not going to get any coin from it.
But here's something, though, that just made me sit and realize we are so hipster before there was hipster. Because the way that we do our show is just so friendly and relatively low production value for a high quality, I'd like to think.
I'd like to think.
Yeah.
Out of 715, there's been a few stinkers.
We are DIY.
Yeah.
We are the thread banger of internet radio, you know?
And to be fair, not to be too ago, there's a lot of people out there that are learning like we are and that have, you know, we've been doing it a really fucking long time. But,
and we do what works, but we don't have to make it, you know, high production and have all the gear, although I have been looking at Wish because I found some decent equipment.
We do what works for us and many of you out there. For sure, for sure. So anyway, is that a final thought, or should I come back to you for an official final thought for the evening, Dark Sakura?
My final thought is that I want a hollow dress, I think. I think I want a hollow dress. Actually, there is something for anyone who can find me a copy of Robot Mon Dieu, which was Jumping Flash 3 in Japan. Hmm. Let me know if you find it. Not on eBay. I want to pay under 20 for it.
And my final thought is I want to have a hollow deck. A hollow deck. And every week in gaming, the technology brings us closer and closer to a holodeck.
Okay, okay. I have something to call out right the fuck now.
Right.
Don't refer to humans as females and males, because that's like you're talking about fucking animals, okay? Men, women, women, men, person. Don't fucking talk about other humans like they're animals.
For those that may not know, is that just like a personal thing? Like some people hate the word moist, or what is it about that word that is
it's just rude.
Why?
Because
I'm asking from a place of education.
It's like
not
when you see someone says, "Oh, well, the females are doing this."
Mm.
You're making us sound like we're fucking animals. Women, say it easy. Women.
All right.
Not fucking hard.
All right.
Okay.
All right. The tangents and more on another episode of Orange Lounge Radio in the future. All right. We'll be back to do it in 7 days, you guys. Have a great week. We will see you next time here at OLR. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.